Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is the Sexy Unique Podcast, an exploration of Vanderpump Rules.
Ain't nobody got me feeling like I'm feeling you.
And I'm your host, Lara Marie Shane Hall.
Yeah. Everybody freeze, put your hands up. We ain't about to take it easy, I hope you cakes up. London with the beach, here we go, so in. Then we go with a friend, you'll be both win.
Yes, here we are in St. John.
Ooh, yeah. Wait, I thought I had the background that I wanted on my computer, but I don't have it.
No?
911.
Okay.
911. Al Sharpton. Okay. Al Sharpton.
Al Sharpton. Okay.
Let's see. Fuck.
Lara?
Are you trying to kill me? I literally have nightmares every night that you're trying to kill me.
Are you trying to kill me? Are you trying to stab me? I have nightmares every night about Bethany having... I feel... Why does Jason even want to kiss her? Because she has knives in her teeth. Just do like a, you know what, you could do, you know what?
Hang on, I'm finding.
Listen, this is a playlist curated by the one and only Stephanie Germanotta for her new forthcoming album, Chromatica.
Is it just like random?
It's just like house inspired, like music that inspired the album.
I love that. She's giving props. She's so singular.
My paws are up. My paws have been up since
you came out of the womb with your paws up. You literally, the doctor in the delivery room was like, I'm sorry, Mrs. O'Donnell, but your baby. And she's like, is he breech? And he goes, no, his paws are up.
Mr. and Mrs. O'Donnell, your son is healthy, but I must say.
He was born with his paws up.
Are up. And that's when they knew their son was a little monster.
Okay, birch back. I swear to God, I can do it.
I like your like.
I can do it.
I love your hair. Right, your hair is kind of matching your shirt.
Thanks. I tried to do like an island vibe.
Well, I'm here for. I'm wearing a jersey.
There we go.
Yes, Boca de Bebo.
Buca de Beppo.
Have I told you about my Buca de Beppo venture? Have I ever told you about my Buca de Beppo venture? Well,
oh, shit. Well,
I'm Carrie.
What do you know? I'm Lara.
And you're listening to Sexy,
Sexy, Unique Podcast.
Live. Scary Island.
Live. Scary Island Edition.
Gary Island edition. We're doing a little detour from our girls in New Jersey again. Because, you know, why not?
Because we can.
Times are weird. Times are scary. It makes sense.
I'm going live on YouTube for anyone that just wants to watch there.
Scary Island sort of feels like COVID.
Yeah, I was feeling the parallels for sure.
Like, isolated in this kind of, you know, pressure cooker of a situation. And I think it actually matches. So I think it was a good choice.
It was a great choice. I was really happy to see, like, I wanted to be on that vacation. Would you go on that vacation even if you knew Kelly was going to terrorize you?
Would I go?
Yeah, if you knew that the whole time you were going to get terrorized by Kelly Bensimone and you might have to do a photo shoot, would you go? Yeah, same.
Absolutely. Because the house is big enough, you could, like, hide from her at some point.
Yeah, and everyone's, like, on your side. It's not like people are like, she's making a lot of sense.
Ooh, are you drinking out of
a frozen margarita.
You're really...
Guys, I reached a scary island of my own today where I was channeling full Katie Maloney energy. And I looked in the mirror at one point and I was like, you are Maloney. Why? And then I was like, just because I was feeling really negative and my hair was like crimped. And I was just like, I have to be quite honest with you. Like, I was not in the mood. I reached a non-mood to do this earlier today. And then I was like, well, but you have to do it. So, like, what are you going to do to get yourself out of scary mode? Right. So I did reach down deep inside.
You had to come to shore.
Yeah, I had to crimp. I had to do a little tie-dye action. I had to do some makeup. I had to order a marg frozen.
I love that you're drinking out of a very eco-friendly straw.
Hey, I'm nothing if not sustainable.
Right? We are the virus.
Mm-hmm.
Earth is taking back. Earth is reclaiming itself. We are the virus.
Honestly, the Earth cockroaches are reclaiming the Earth.
I think it's true.
They are. I see them every night when I go for a walk with Tony. They scuttle around.
I haven't seen the cockroaches. I've seen too many for comfort. I've seen less crows recently, which is upsetting for me.
Yeah, I think because there's less trash around the street.
Yeah. I saw a bat, like a spring bat at one point in the dusk sky, and that was kind of cool.
Oh, so like a flying bat?
Yeah, like a little like fruit bat. That was cool.
I love bats.
They are cool. Really
had a bat. They've had a tough go of it.
Bats are, you know, I went to, my Simon is from Austin, and we went to Austin last year, and we went to that bridge, that famous bridge where all the bats hang upside down under it, and in like the spring, they like fly and they blot out the sky.
I wonder if people are going to still go there, if they're going to be like, is that like testing your luck to go just like sit under bats and maybe get pooped on by a bat?
I mean, it didn't smell good, but it was really, I mean, they weren't that active that night. It was still pretty crazy, but it was the whole, like, hundreds of people were gathered on the bridge, and it was, I've never seen anything like it.
I would go still. It was amazing.
They're hanging. They're hanging. And then at a certain, right at like post sunset, like right at that second, they're like molecular, like instincts just tell them to go. So it's like right at a certain hour or a minute, and then they just all fly, and they sort of fly in like the thousands.
Bats are cool.
And it smelled really bad though.
Yeah, they're shitting guano everywhere.
I was like,
I've seen Ace Ventura 2. I know what guano is.
Mm-hmm. So Lara and I are planning on going to the Encino Buca and sitting in Dorit's citrus themed room. I mean, it is.
I am Buca di Beppo. I am like Entourage. I am Queens Boulevard. I am Buca di Beppo.
I mean, all that, I'm not trying to be mean, but that looks like it was put together in like a day.
Oh, I liked it.
You do?
I think it's my Oklahoma roots where I was like, that looks nice. Like, I was like,
no, listen, I'm from. It. I'm from like I'm from suburban New Jersey. I'm all about like Ruby Tuesdays and chilies.
A fake lemon is a real vibe.
I mean, it is. Yolanda would like it.
Yolanda would love it. I fear for how dusty those fake lemons are going to get, because you know that they just like they collect dust and you can't clean them. So I feel like it's going to be looking dusty and crusty in no time.
I just want to go and go. Oh,
Capri. The Amalfi, Capri, the Amalfi Coast.
Were you pointing at that mural? Look, it's Capri.
Look, Capri.
Look, it's Capri. That's what Dorit says. And you see,
it is Capri.
Is there going to be like a final show? Like, are they going to have something in the season?
Big reveal?
Yeah, is there going to be like an event of her Buka reveal? Or do you think that was...
There has to be. They're keying up too much Buka content to not give us like a grand reveal or a party at Buka where everyone gathers.
Yeah. It has to happen.
We need it. We've earned it.
We have. You know, it's just we're blessed right now to have two nights in a row of Beverly Hills and New York. So it's just like, oh, and it's,
two nights in a row of Beverly Hills.
Well, no, it's like in one after the other, like Beverly Hills is tomorrow. Roni.
Oh yeah.
So it's just, that feels blessed.
Yeah.
And what better for your birthday?
I'm in heaven. Mm-hmm.
Lara's birthday.
I'm in heaven between. Yeah. My birthday's on Saturday. I'm feeling existential about it.
Yeah.
But what are you going to do?
You're turning
36, which is crazy because I was joking. The COVID psychic that I consulted with told me that once I turned 36, I was going to get into younger guys. And I was telling a girlfriend of mine about that. And we were joking, and she's like, how young? And I was like, I mean, 18, as long as they're legal, bring them on. And then I heard what I in the moment, I was like, lol, that's hilarious, Lars. Like, you did it again, slam dunk. And then I got home, and I was like, wait, an 18-year-old is literally 18 years younger than I'm going to be. I didn't realize that in the moment. I thought, like, they were 10 years younger, and it was just, like, silly. It was half my age is 18. That's shocking. I wasn't ready for that.
No, I mean, we're both in our 30s. I was shocked to learn tonight that Alex McCord is 36 in Scary Island.
About to be my age. I don't relate. That's actually it for me.
Should I have not disclosed that? That was a discovery.
No, I'm fine. I don't hide my age. No. But I'm just like,
no, it's also not even that. It's not like it's like 36 is just like mid 30s. It's not
36
like,
is the new 18. Honestly, but
I was shocked. I thought Alec, because she seems so much older, and I thought she was
in her 40s.
I did too, but I realized I actually went back and listened to it three times just to make sure that's what she was saying. You can't really hear it. It's quick, but she says, when Kelly's like, it's like preschool. We all put our thoughts down on this paper and then we crumple them up like complaints. It's like being in preschool. And then Alex says, I don't want to be in preschool. I like being 36. And I was like, 36? I thought she was like at least.
I thought she was like 45.
Yeah.
Like I would have been like, 44 years, sensible 44. That just seems like at that age you've achieved whatever it is that she's achieved on Roni. Like, she seems very mature. And I'm not saying, like, oh, she's an old hag. I'm just
She just has, mature, like, wise energy.
Yeah, she's, like, mature. Not that you're not. Wears her hair in, like, a bouffant, like, that side part with a poof. I was like, that reads like someone who's seen it all and has entered their 40s and is not going to be looking back.
She's a Midwest girl.
Yeah. Our lives are just so different. It's weird to get into the age territory, like, of these women. And then also it's like women on Sex and the City. Like, I'm like now in the Sex and the City years.
Right.
And I just like didn't sign up for any of this, honestly, at the end of the day.
We're all going through it together. We're passing time together.
Yeah.
Right. Should I not have?
That's true.
I didn't mean to bring this up.
I'm like, It would be cool if on my birthday, melancholia happened. Like, I would not complain about that. I would think that that was awesome.
Oh, someone just wrote at least Carrie didn't bring up 9/11.
Well, now you did, so it worked.
It's kind of 9/11 count.
And it always ends up at 9/11. Whether you like it or not, honestly.
Sorry.
That's just how it goes.
It is.
It is what it is.
No, I also, speaking of Alex, I realized years ago, my roommate in New York, Susie, and I, we got, I think we were like really high one night, and we both friended Alex McCord and Simon Van Kempen, her husband, on Facebook. Like their personal, back when they had like personal.
Oh yeah. That was the best, when you could just like find low key, like find people.
Yeah. And so
or reality stars on Facebook.
So I'm like friends. I've been friends with them since like 2012. And I, every so often, Alex comes up on my newsfeed and I remember that I'm friends with them.
What's going on in her world? Can you read us maybe a few Facebook posts of hers?
Well, they've relocated to Australia. So they're like
down under.
She's an expatriate because Simon's from there.
Yeah, that's chic. They belong there, honestly.
Yeah, they were not meant for. I liked Alex.
Guess what? In rewatching, Alex is kind of like a Miranda of the show. Like, I like what she's bringing to the table. She keeps it real.
Oh.
And she has really good beach hair. See, that hair does not, like, when I'm 40, in my 40s, my sensible 40s, I will go really voluminous and right? Like a side part poof. But at this juncture,
she recently,
wavy.
Yeah. She got her master's degree in psychology.
That makes sense. I would trust her as a therapist.
Vice Chancellor Scholar 2020, Sarah Alexandra McCord. Do you think she's adopted an Australian accent yet?
Probably.
Yeah.
That's, I would do that. Like, live around, even when I go back to Oklahoma, if I'm around people that I know from OKC for too long, I start talking Oklahoman.
I love it.
Yeah, it's just what you do.
I mean, remember when Meghan Markle like started rocking a slight British accent?
Mm-hmm.
That was great. Let's hear it from Megan.
It's respectful, quite frankly.
Z-Way wrote, shout out to
Laura. Pause up for Megan. What?
Z-Way wrote, shout out to Laura and Carrie. Her forthcoming guests. But yeah, Alex is doing great. And
wait, what is Alex saying on Facebook? Please.
Alex Word.
Yeah, what is she saying? What's her update?
Okay, so she graduated from, she got her master's degree. That was her most recent post. She said, mm-hmm. Call me master, not mistress.
Oh. Amen. I can call her master. I'll call her whatever she wants me to call her.
She posted a Joe Gunn meme. Or someone posted a Joe Gunn meme and she liked it.
She loved it.
Joe
Gunn is blowing up. Honestly,
yeah, he's great.
That kid is that kid. I don't know why.
He's like our age.
Send me back to Buca. Back to Buca I go for that. A table alone at Buca.
That was very funny. For one. I'm such a fan of his. Table for one. Laura?
Waiter?
Legs. Table for one. Lower half. Okay, so this is Alex's. She's doing well. She looks great.
Yeah.
This hair is feeling way too long, parentheses, and frizzy, but it's been raining for a month. Time to cut. So she's like crowdsourcing suggestions hair. On her hair.
Okay, love. I wish you would get really active on her like Facebook like comments and likes. Like, be like, yes, queen, cut that mane.
We know she's like, on the right side of things politically.
Mm-hmm.
She wrote, first brush bushfires, now flooding. Stay tuned for the plague of locusts. That was in February. So.
Yeah. That kid. Don't, guys. I'm closing out the chat for that.
Oh, come on. Everyone. Saw this yesterday. None of us could stop giggling. This is what happens to low-performing elves on shelves. This is from Christmas.
Oh, she's an elf on the shelf parent.
Elf on the shelf kind of parent.
Will I be an Elf on the Shelf parent?
Maybe.
Will you? I can see myself getting really into an Elf on the Shelf.
Yeah. Oh, Simon Van Kempen graduated from law school last fall.
Wow.
So they're like, they really went hard.
They're a power couple. Yeah.
A lot of her posts are about rain, because I guess it rains a lot there.
Mm-hmm.
Rain. We've got rain after months of nothing. This will fill the water tanks and calm the bushfires. We're dancing and singing in it. She's like Mad Maxing in the Alps.
She's walkabout. She's walkabout energy, but not in a Yule's way, in just like her own way.
She's very witty.
I would expect nothing less.
She was always really witty.
Mm-hmm.
I should start wishing her happy birthdays.
Don't you just think?
Oh, she writes mom. Back.
What, mom?
She says mom.
Yeah, she definitely speaks in like a accent for sure in conversation.
Right. What were you gonna say?
No, I just like, don't you just think like when you're watching like, okay, Scary Island's 10 years old, right?
Right. Crazy. Fucking insane.
You never think that you're ever going to be the age of these women. You know what I mean? You never ever think of yourself as like, someday I too might go to a Scary Island, but like, or like be their age. And then suddenly you are, apparently. Suddenly your friend tells you that you and Alex McCord are the same age, and then you're like,
are you oh my god,
I'm joking, Carrie. I'm kidding. Carrie's fucking canceled for that. Everyone, you heard it here first.
Carrie's canceled. Care.
Hashtag Carrie is over party.
No. I am over. I'm never reveal a woman's age.
You are just Luann like through and through. I was watching the episode before this, and when Luann's in the studio with John the producer.
Like James Brown.
I feel James Brown. Ho.
And she goes, ho.
Ho.
What?
Look at this. It's beautiful in here. I'd love it. But you must know that. You come here every day.
I feel like Madonna. Remember when he told her voice was like Madonna's? Get out
he
of here.
He said her voice was like Fergie's. And I was like, that was true.
That's true. Oh, my anyway, no, I think Bethany was like mid 33 when she started.
Yeah,
She was. I mean, she was like close to my age. I'm 31.
Baby.
She was really, and
she was but a mere baby.
And now, and it's crazy to see her pregnant. That was so long ago.
Mm-hmm.
Remember? And I love the fact that she's pregnant in this horror movie in this episode is like makes it the stakes higher.
Yeah. And can you imagine attacking a pregnant woman and bullying a pregnant woman whose father just passed away? Like she just buried her father. She's confessed to everyone like her dark truth about her relationship with her father. Been like, I was happy when he died. And like felt relieved. And then you bully her and call her a chef, not a cook, and like yell at her and tell everyone that she's gonna kill you.
Yeah. Tell her that she has knives for teeth and then question why the father of her child wants to kiss her. When Kelly said that when she was on the phone with Jill, I was like, that felt fishy to me. Cause it's like, why are you bringing Jay? You know what I mean? It kind of felt like she was just being like a hater.
She's fully a hater, but also like knives for teeth. Kelly's living in like a claymation Twilight Zone episode. She's living in the episode of the Twilight Zone movie where like everyone goes over to the little kid's house that like can control everything.
Yeah. And the family's like really happy.
Yeah. And they have to eat like peanut butter hamburgers. And that rabbit comes out. Like the uncle turns into the rabbit, and that's what Kelly is seeing. Kelly's like fully on an acid trip this whole time.
She is. She's like, Kelly's living in like an episode of Celebrity Deathmatch.
Yeah. Where it's her versus Bethany. But Bethany didn't do anything to her.
Mm-hmm. Bethany's also so like, I know they're Bethany. I mean, I'm a Bethany fan for life.
Yeah, same.
She's so, you forget like how rational she is in the show. And so, like, she has her moments of like when she's really emotional, but just her reactions to dealing with Kelly throughout it, I'm like, I don't know how she did that. Cause I would have been like, I would have like jumped off the balcony and swam.
I think I would have handled it similarly to how Bethany was, because there's moments when she's almost looking at the camera. Like, you can tell that she's looking at, like, crew people, kind of.
Well, I think
and
she's
just
like,
trying to be like, are you seeing what I'm seeing? Like, are we? And she says that over and over. She's like, finally, we're on the same channel. Like, and
no,
that's
I
like
that.
How I would feel really validated once everyone was on board with, like, okay, this person's a psycho and
I am a psycho.
Truly not doing anything.
And it's like she kind of, you almost felt like Bethany felt a little gaslit for so long because no one was really seeing what she was seeing. Because no one was they saw it on the, but no one was at the brass monkey when Kelly said, you're here and I'm up here.
Yeah.
I don't
and
like
Kelly
you.
And Kelly tried to turn it around.
I don't think you're funny. I mean, Bethany, remember when she was leaving the brass monkey and Bethany popped out of the dark and said, why are you still here? You're following me. And Bethany was like, I'm getting a cab.
Was all this from Kelly just thought Bethany had planted a story about her in the media?
No, she
hates her ass.
She just conflated everything. Like, there's probably like a, well, remember Kelly had that whole incident where she like beat up her boyfriend?
I mean, yeah, that sounds familiar.
Remember the first season Kelly was on? She had that like hot, like floppy haired model boyfriend who was younger.
Yes.
I think they had some like cokey, like domestic dispute one night and they got the police came and it like Page Six went crazy for it. And I think Kelly, and then there was like stuff leading after it. And I feel like Kelly thought Bethany had planted the story or like she just blamed it on her.
She doesn't care about you.
Yeah. I mean, remember when Kelly showed up to the Halloween party that Bethany went to, like all like dressed like Roller Girl, and she showed up like 2 hours late?
No, actually.
In the first season, she was on Kelly threw a Kelly took that crazy photo shoot for her Halloween party where she like it was for the invitations. It was supposed to be this blowout Halloween party. It was so weird. It was like at this janky place and Kelly or Bethany and Jill, when they were still friends, showed up together and they were just waiting for Kelly for 2 hours. And then Kelly finally came with like a posse of men and like gays. Not that gays aren't men, but like
men and then some gays.
She came with like a bunch of like bro straight guys and then like a bunch of gays and her hot, like crazy model boyfriend. And then the other housewives had left at that point because Kelly was like, didn't come to the party. Anyway.
The first time I ever watched this, I remember being like, I don't understand what's happening. Like, I can't wrap my mind around it. And I felt like even in the reunions, people were like, oh, like she just went crazy, like blah, blah, blah. And I was like, wait, that is like, but explain. And then now with 10 years between me and the original air date, I fully understand how that could happen to someone.
Yeah.
Oh, that's another dark truth.
It's harrowing, but I think we should bring out our first guest.
Let's bring her to the stage.
She will be revealed. Z-Way from New York City.
She will be revealed tonight.
She will come, the hilarious comedian herself.
Hi, guys.
Oh, my
Hi.
God. Yes.
Hey, hola. Thanks for having me. This is so funny.
The May Queen.
The May Queen herself.
Midsommar.
How's Sweden?
Sweden is fantastic. Also, I want to note that I do know exactly what you're talking about with the Halloween where Kelly arrived 3 hours late.
Yes. Wasn't that insane?
Justice.
And you know, honestly, when I first watched Real Housewives, I liked Kelly Bensimono too much.
Yeah. Well, obviously her iconic debut when she's running down Fifth Avenue in the middle of traffic.
Yeah.
Your car is honking behind her.
She was seductive. She's a model and she was.
I love the models.
To Gilles Bensimone, who was like.
Famously.
Famously
married.
And, yeah. And like he was always the prize on America's Next Top Model. I feel that's like true. I never even saw him on A&T.
Oh my God.
I always heard about him. Yeah.
He was also on an episode of Real Housewives of New Jersey when Danielle Staub takes Christine to the photo.
Oh, that was dark. Oh God, honey. Alarming. That was, and she was flirting with him.
He was like, I want to see you in the photo now. And Danielle was like,
she's like, who, me?
You're like,
mind if I do? Yeah. Wait, there's actually like a commonality between Danielle Staub and Lisa Rinna.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Lisa. Okay, just a side note. Because you're watching Beverly Hills, the new season.
I watched fucking Auckland, okay? Real ninjas stand up. I am a Housewives fanatic.
I know you are. But so what do you feel about Lisa's, like, her daughter promo? I just don't care. I'm sorry.
Can we be honest? And I'm going to be honest. I don't like to be honest in public, but I love you guys. I trust you guys. It's just a family of 340.
Safe space.
Yeah. I think that it should be that that should not be the storyline. I just think we need separation from that. I think we've done that. We've tread that.
Right? With like Christine.
Yeah.
I
love Bella and Gigi, and you can never replace Bella and Gigi Hadid. I'm sorry.
They're actually like,
they're iconic. Models. They're supermodels. Yeah. But
they did it first. You can't do it second. It's not as impactful. Yeah.
But my
second man on the moon is not talked about. I'm just saying. Who is it? Buzz? No. Lance Armstrong? I don't know.
Muhammad Hadid.
What?
Muhammad Hadid, to just like loop back on his house drama, because I really followed that like hardcore last year.
Oh, loved it.
Loved it. He now is building a house next to Harry and Meghan. I think he's like their next door neighbor.
Really?
Yes. Harry and Meghan are living in one of Tyler Perry's homes?
Yes, allegedly.
Yes.
Okay.
Allegedly living in Tyler Perry's home.
Is it in like the Palisades, or where is this?
Somewhere nice. Somewhere I cannot afford.
Part of town.
But the Lisa, and then we'll go back into our girl Kelly, but the Lisa.
Oh, yeah, we're supposed to be talking about Roni.
No. It's all related. But my biggest thing is I'm so sick of this narrative of celebrity children who have anxiety. I think Amelia, what she went through was like that was like brave of her to talk about it, but like her just being like, I'm anxious. And Kendall Jenner being like, you know what I mean? And it's like, we're all anxious. It's called depression. And we all have it. I'm just like, it's not breaking. You know what I mean? Like, it's like their own brand of anxiety being a child.
Yeah, honestly, if I was a producer crafting my perfect celebrity child narrative, it would just be like, what is it like to always have to talk about your parents all the time? People are asking you where your dad is. Why can't your dad hang out? Where's Kris Jenner? Does she want to come to the party?
Right.
You know, so I think that would be like, that's where I would want to follow.
Yeah. We should like be plants on a reality show.
I would love to produce like Real Housewives. I would kill for that job. Yeah. Well, maybe not, but yeah, I don't know. Maybe.
What do you think about this season? Are you into it right now?
I'm like wet for Denise Richards. I think that she is a gift.
Love her. Yes.
She's interesting. She's compelling. Even if she's a little cuckoo Lulu, we can move past that.
We can. And
that's
you know
part
what?
Of the charm. And she's like married to a guy who's like obsessed with frequencies.
And is hot. They're gorgeous. I love attractive people. That's why I liked Kristen Takeman.
Yes.
Yeah, I liked her too. It's that model vibe.
Yeah, I think it's like if you're a pretty girl. Yeah, I'm like, it's like for me, Housewives is watching my Barbies fight. And so it like Harper gives me back to like my elementary school days when I would like take Teresa and Barbie and Kelly and they'd like pull each other's hair. Yeah,
and like Beanie Babies, making my Beanie Babies. But I was so happy that Denise finally said, "I'm Denise Richards this season."
Because you can't. How do you lap her? She was a Bond girl.
No, and she's Denise. Like Kyle calling her a ragamuffin was so offensive to me because
out of pocket. Out of pocket. How dare you? When she was like, I've been on every cover you've ever heard of. Yeah, she's Denise Richards.
She's Denise Richards. And I was like, thank you. Because she's been kind of like, I just wear jeans. Like, she's been playing herself down a lot, I think, because she was trying to, like, feel around in the first season and get her bearings. And I was waiting for her.
Brought some glam.
She did. But I was waiting for her to go into her, like, wild things, like Denise, this is Denise, you know.
I'm loving, honestly, Denise Richards, they're trying to paint her as a villain. Denise Richards would have to punch a baby on live television for me to feel any sort of way about her, because I just love her. Yeah.
That baby would have deserved it, though. Like, there's no, like, yeah, fuck the baby. Team Denise for life. Like, you can't actually take her down. She's everything.
She's Denise Richards. She's gone through so much worse than anything a housewife
could do. I know.
Sorry.
She's married to Charlie Sheen. Like, you have seen things you will never be able to unsee after you've been in a marriage with Charlie Sheen.
Did you watch her reality show like 10 years ago?
Yes, I love her dad. He's sweet.
And her mom, that was really sad.
It was really, I mean, it's, yeah. I just think that she raises like a child with special needs. She just seems like a good person. She is a
good person. And all this stuff that happens, that's going to happen with Brandy, I'm already need to like cover my ears.
Brandy's thirsty.
I know she's thirsty, but I'm already going to be like.
She needs a drink of water.
What's
that?
Are
they like fully hooked up?
I honestly, I don't know, but there's no value in that. That's not a dramatic storyline to be like, we fucked. It's like, okay, are you 12? Otherwise it's not news.
No, that's what it's like, is this 2006? Like, why is, like, that's the big twist, is like, she,
yeah, this is
like,
not a big deal.
Women too, maybe, like, that's, and I'm already like dreading,
she said that, like,
being like, oh, I don't want to know about that, you know.
But what do you guys think of Erica? What do you guys think of Erica and her husband?
I was truly shocked when he revealed that he went to school with John Wayne's child. I was like, oh, he's truly from
the,
like,
mummy. 90s, he is like
turn of the century LA. Like,
back, he grew up in LA when it was like dusty roads.
Yes, like, yeah, like riding cowboy, like Gold Rush LA.
Like Jack Nicholson in Chinatown.
No, like Roman numerals LA. Jack Nicholson in Chinatown.
When he left, like, when she was like, okay, well, Tom has to leave now. He has to go. I was like, where is he going? Like,
I know, where was he going?
Put a diaper on and go to bed? I was like, where, but like, where?
I had the same thought. I was like, where is he going, to like the Pacific Dining Car? Like, where is he going?
Is he getting shuffled off, like, to the help to, like, guide him into, like, a walker and undress him? Like, I was so confused. But I was happy that he was included, and he was so happy to tell his stories.
Yeah. I know.
I kind of love them together.
He was so... Yeah, there's something. And then when Garcelle was... I love Garcelle.
Garcelle is who I am when I go to LA. How about that?
Garcelle, when she said that Kyle's outfit was hideous, I was like, thank God for her.
She's like, what a fucking ugly dress. Yeah, I mean,
and I liked her
with
being
the,
like,
ugliest outfit.
I also like that skirt. I like her being like, Kyle, you don't acknowledge me.
I know, and Kyle's like, yes, I do. Cut to no footage. I also like that Kyle's
like, oh, sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I was just like, when Kyle was like, I didn't realize you'd be so fabulous. I was like, Kyle, like,
that's it.
Fuck in, lady. Like,
I know.
What's wrong with you?
What I like about Kyle is that Kyle's like, I have to shoot Halloween, and then cut to three episodes later, Garcelle's like, oh yeah, I'm on four movies, and I have two twin beautiful sons. Like,
she's
I'm
in
living
America
on,
too.
I know, and like, it's she's on. She's working a lot.
She books. Garcelle books.
Garcelle is booked, honey, and so is Denise Richards on Bold and the Beautiful. I want Denise to be in my pilot, guys. Can we put feelers?
Yeah, ask her. Make it happen. She would do it.
She would do
it. I think she would be good on Prestige. I think she's a Prestige actress.
She is. She's also fucking funny. Like,
and
Drop Dead Gorgeous.
She was amazing in Drop Dead Gorgeous.
Her comedic timing was incredible. Like, she's really funny and underutilized, I feel.
Yeah.
Starship Troopers.
She's looking for an opportunity to shine. And I think you found it quite right.
We need, speaking of Midsommar, we need like Ari Aster to cast her in his next movie as like a bit role, right?
I mean, yeah, we're part of the Denise Richards cult, and I think that that's really, I'm happy for us.
Right?
Denise fan club. This is the first official meeting.
Do you think
Kelly Bensalem? Can we talk about Ronin?
Yes, yes.
Oh, do so- I like, I, so I, so, okay, so let's just back context of my experience with Real Housewives okay. is that I jumped into Real Housewives the season of the Berkshires where she calls, when Bethany calls Luann a slut. Oh. So that's my first experience ever with it. And I was like, this show is horrible. It's offensive to women. And so then I watched all of that and got back to the beginning. And so that's, so I never clicked with Bethany because I didn't grow up with Bethany. So right. I liked Kelly Bensimone, but now I realized that she was acting unhinged.
Yes. She's demented. No, but I get it. Bethany, it. If, to come in on that specifically, that would be jarring.
I was scarred, but I see that Bethany is like a very nice lady the first couple seasons.
She is. I also love that episode because there's this amazing shot where you see Luann through the screen door and it's like pink magic hour outside in the Berkshires and she's just smoking a cigarette.
Oh my gosh.
After Bethany calls her a slut and she's like, horrible.
She's man. Like, I can't believe they did that to me. Jules, Jules, I know your dad is dead, but, and it's like, wow, this is really dark.
Oh yeah, Jules.
It was so sad.
Oh my god, Jules, who baked a fork into her calzone so she wouldn't
that
have
was, so
to
that
eat
was
it.
Dark. That was so that dark. Was
masterful.
Just oh. wait, so I interviewed Luann once at a show. Yeah, I interviewed Luann right after she did blackface and famously. Oh and I was like Luann, like that. Do you talk to any of your castmates? Like, have you talked to Jules? And she was like, who the hell is Jules? Which I thought was very funny that she had no idea who I was talking about.
Oh my god. Like, also, cool? Yeah, that was her Diana Ross moment. I was like, what the fuck?
Iconic.
That,
man, no. Iconic. And also, Diana Ross didn't have an afro like that. But no. That's neither here nor there.
also, to talk about this episode, in the one moment we get Luann and Jill at that restaurant called Geisha that no one is in like,
oh
that
gosh.
Where, and Luann, I miss Luann's like deep cut like shirts with her giant statement jewelry and her hair.
She doesn't
was kind
wear
of like,
turquoise anymore.
No.
Because we've bullied her. We cyber bullied her.
We did.
Just she kind of had turquoise.
But she used to have Reba hair.
She did.
Yeah.
And it looked good. Reba,
she looked great.
She's also, never Luann looked is, bad, honestly.
She never looks bad.
No, she's
Luann
gorgeous.
Is one of the prettiest people I've ever met in person. And oh, I've always I,
she is.
Yeah, she really is. I thought she was cute like on the show, but she's actually beautiful in person.
I saw her at something a few months ago for my boyfriend had for this dinner that we went to, and she came in late and she walked in and it was like she was luminous.
Luminous.
She's stunning in person, and she's so tall.
Yeah. A pillar of strength.
But she's like in the scene. Oh, Jordan Below's here. Hi, Jordan.
Oh, Jordan. She's up with the purple dress with the one. What do you guys think of her Hampton look with the florals?
That was a departure from previous like Luann chicness. I was like, it was a little matronly for me. I won't lie.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
It was a little bit matronly. I was team Ramona on that. It was not. Didn't Ramona say like it was not appropriate for a evening party, a cocktail party?
Honestly, fair. I'll also, believe that.
Ramona,
like it just like it seemed like a daytime dress it rather did. Than like a nighttime dress.
Ramona also in this episode is so endearing to me in Scary Island.
Oh my god, she's as normal as she gets.
Right? She was yeah, so she excited so to do what made too. Me happy. And knowing what we know now that like Mario was probably cheating on her back then, like
oh absolutely.
Because who also, when Luann says, why would I go celebrate her 17th anniversary with a girls' trip? Like, that was kind of weird.
It doesn't, I mean, it did not track now that you say it like that. Now that you say yeah. it, I'm hearing it.
Right? But she.
I thought Ramona was cute in this one. She found the Playboy guy, right? Or the guy who invented
Hooters him. Guy.
Hooters. Yeah,
the owner of Hooters, which weird synergy, like, way later with Vanderpump Rules and, like, Jax and Brittany. Connecting oh, yeah. over Britney's past as a Hooters girl, like
it's all connected.
The universe is just a cosmic, mystical place.
But Z-Way, did you like this part when I wanted to get your opinion of when Bethany reminds Ramona that she went when she was blackout drunk, she went up to one of the Hooters waitresses and told her to go.
I hate that. I was mad at
no,
that.
I hate
like,
it.
You can't degrade women like that. Vicky Gumbelson's on the same fucking bullshit oh. with the sushi girl. It's like, you can't just, people are living their lives. Let them be like,
right?
She's not your life.
She's in the Virgin Islands at Hooters.
Yeah, exactly. You think she's fucking miserable? You're miserable.
Also, Vicky, side note, like, Corona truther number one.
Oh, her and Kelly fucking...
All of them. Ladies, I'm sure. Kelly Dodd and Vicky are the ones that are probably being the most vocal about it.
I had to unfollow Kelly Dodd because I was like, I cannot take another video of a child saying, I want to go play on the swing. That was too much for me personally.
What Kelly was Dodd she doing? Like, she was like Instagramming her children or just like random children?
A stranger's child with a swing locked up being like, don't you want to go play? But you can't because of COVID. It's like, you are a psychopath.
She's like angling for a job on that new OAN network. I swear.
I mean, ATN, we here for you. Like, yeah. Yeah.
Can you imagine terrorizing a stranger's child to, like, push your own warped political agenda?
Hey,
this kid just wants fucking candy.
Don't you want to go play? He's like, yeah. She's like, cool.
Danger.
I'll give you a Diet Coke if you say yes.
I'll give you a Coke. I'll give you a Coca-Cola.
I'll give you one
I'll
can
give you some
Coke.
Pop.
Someone wrote Lindsay Lohan with the refugee family energy.
Oh, for sure.
I was thinking, I tweeted about that the other day because I just remembered that she got punched in the face on IG Live.
Lindsay Lohan? I remember, okay, I was going to bed.
In Paris.
I was going to bed watching it unfold live. And I was like, no one was saying anything about it. I was like in bed. It was like 1 a.m. and I was watching it unfold and I was like, wait a minute. What is happening? And then
oh my God.
At the end of the video, she's on the ground.
Crying.
And I was like, this is how can you come back from this moment? How do you come back from that?
Seemed it's not so to funny. Really hurt her all that
it
much.
It hurt her.
Really? People shockingly did not care. They care more about like Lohan Beach Club being bad than like the fact that she tried to abduct like two refugee children away from their mother.
She tried to
and kept speaking and in that bad French accent. Yeah, it was weird.
Come, we will go to the hotel.
I have tried to help you. Come with me.
I have money, no? It's like, what? And of course, the family does not understand a word of what this woman is saying in English or Arabic. So they're just like, dumbfounded.
No, she's
like a white devil is chasing us through the streets of Paris.
She tells
trying
tells
to
little
steal
boys,
my children.
She's like, don't you want to come watch movies with me in the hotel?
And he's like, no, I don't.
No, I'd rather be here on the street in the cold than in your hotel room with you.
She is, I love Lindsay Lohan. I've watched every Lindsay Lohan property, her Oprah documentary. I watched Beach Club. Like, right. I find her endlessly fascinating. I think she needs a camera on her at all times.
Yeah,
she's amazing. But that was, I mean, also Lindsay's COVID, her COVID when, so.
What is she saying?
Well, no, this, like 2 weeks into us all being locked down, Lindsay took to Instagram and was like, stay inside. Do it. I can cook. I love to cook. I brought a bunch of crabs.
I have crab. So I cook it now. And like,
oh my gosh.
Like cooking crab with like her cohorts, whoever they may be.
Dubai. But I was like, I was pretty certain that she just found out about COVID at that moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you guys remember in Lindsay Lohan Beach Club where she saw that they were cooking crabs for dinner and she took one of the crabs and she was like, I'm a Disney girl like Ariel. And then she put the crab in the ocean and it died.
Oh, yeah.
The lobster. Yeah. The lobster scream heard around the world. And when it like, I feel like they added the sound effect, but I hope that they didn't when she like dropped it and it was like.
So wild.
She ran to the camera and went. Saving, she turns, faces the camera on a reality show, and she goes, me saving lobsters, what do you think about that? And then she saunters off.
Iconic. Lindsay Lohan is the most iconic. I wish that Lindsay Lohan was on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Oh my God.
Let's talk about that.
Let's talk about it. Or
she's
New York.
Shishy.
I don't think she could survive New York.
No, I agree with you.
They would destroy
her. I think she'd get bullied by Dorinda.
Unless Jill Zarin came back and they could like tag team because they're friends. Like they go like,
ooh,
back.
Wait, really? Oh, wait, I have another pitch.
Yes.
What about Dina Lohan, Lindsay Lohan, Dale Tinsley combo?
Think
about it.
That's all I want. mother daughter like vacation, and like that it could be like a HBO or not HBO that HBO show and couples therapy, the VH1 show that's like couples therapy but just mom with, like, and mothers and daughters.
I would love that with Candace. Throw in a Candace. Yeah, why not? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Candy Burris and
do you
I'm fully in.
Oh my god, Candy Burris and her mom,
Mama Joyce.
Her mom, remember the play?
Oh, that was
a mother's love.
A lot. It was a lot. Did Portia audition for it and sing? His eyes are on the sparrow.
Yeah, Portia, she made it. I think she made the cut.
Yeah, of course she did. She's better. She's on the show. She's on the main cast.
do you think I said this to Laura. I feel like Roni should have one gay guy in it.
I agree. I think that I agree. I think that there should be men on Housewives.
Like
husband, like a main character. I think so. Mm-hmm. Why not? I think it'd be iconic.
Right? Like a really like dark, amazing, like dark energy gay who's married to some rich older guy who's just like,
you know who they should have is who? Nate Berkus and his husband. Don't they have a place in New York?
They just got one in West Village, according to Architecture Digest.
Yes, I looked at that and I saved like their patio photo to my like desktop.
I did too.
They're like gold. They should be the gay couple on Roni.
They're like blindingly beautiful.
Yes. That's what we love.
Yeah, we need to see it.
That'd be sick. Also, I would love a Real Housewives of Chicago starring Tinsley.
Yes.
Why hasn't Chicago been? Because they were in another franchise, right? Like another franchise explored. Was Married to Medicine originally Chicago?
100 Days of Summer.
Oh, 100 Days of Summer. Okay, yeah.
Chicago reality show.
Oh, I've never seen that.
It was like, what is this? It was like, if it's not Housewives or Vanderpump Rules, like, I'm not interested.
Yeah, I need the branding.
Yeah, I need Real Housewives of Chicago hugely.
Right,
because you know there are people that would be great. Like, there's people that would be down.
Well, the money is like nuts because the houses that you buy for like less than what you'd have in New York for a one bedroom apartment are huge. Like Lakeshore Drive is glamorous as hell.
Yeah,
and like the shopping is insane on like off of Lakeshore and
Lakeshore Drive. Yeah,
there's like a Chicago society.
There is there is for sure. Well, because all the Midwesterners go to Chicago.
Right.
The Midwesterns, but then also like the pro sports teams. There's so many pro sports and like a lot of like WAGs energy.
Oh my gosh.
I'm from Philly area. I'm from Philly, not New Jersey.
Philly cheese stick.
I'm from
Philly in the house. Pause up for Philly.
Pause up for Philly. But they were gonna do a Real Housewives of Philly, I think. Grace Kelly's niece, because Grace Kelly is like from the main line of Philly, like they were one of the big families. She was asked to do it, I think, because she's like a big, they have a huge, like there's a huge like Philly society, and she was like, no way, that's beneath me. And so none of like the socialite women did it because she didn't do it. That's, I think I heard that.
Wow.
That would have been amazing, because Philly has easy, like history. I don't know.
That's like the oldest money,
right?
That goes back to like the beginning of America kind of money. But there's no wonder they like don't want to do it. They're like, we don't want anyone looking into our past in this way.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Oh, that's why I wanted even more.
Yeah.
Real Housewives of Boston.
Oh my God, I wish. They'd be like, Mark Wahlberg and his Wahlburgers. Like, I don't even know.
Did you ever watch that MTV show about like just Boston, like a crew of Boston friends getting like shit faced all the time?
I think it was after CT became famous. They had one, right?
Wicked single.
They should do Housewives of Salem.
Drink. They should do. Carlton could move to Salem.
So Moniece Monts says they worked on that show. Monts Barrera.
Monts, tell us everything, Monts.
Wait, what did they do in the show, Laura? They just like got wasted.
They would just binge. They
and have accents
to the point of throwing up, and like have Boston accents. Like
it was like after Jersey Shore.
Yeah, it was right. Okay. And I think it just was so dark that MTV just kind of like ended up throwing it away. Like they would air it at like 2 p.m. on like a Sunday afternoon. Mm. And then like you couldn't really see it. And then it had it on demand like when I had cable. But then it kind of just disappeared because it was truly just like people drinking themselves to the point of like brain damage.
That's sad.
Will Hunting spinoff. Good Will Hunting 2.
Yes, famously. Famously, Good Will Hunting and that other movie about
The Town.
The Town.
Blake Lively plays an oxy.
Blake Lively baked brownies.
She goes, I want to go with you.
That was the first day that she shot. That was her first day of shooting, apparently.
Really?
Yeah.
Apparently Blake like went on like a ride along with Ben Affleck, and they rode through Charlestown together, and like Blake like took in the scene and like met women to get into that role.
Wild.
Right?
I'm from Massachusetts. I'm from north of Boston, so I have a lot of pride for the town.
Where are you from?
I'm a Masshole. Yeah, Lawrence, Mass.
Okay, my mom is from Salem, and my whole family lives in the North Shore. And she grew up in New Hampshire, but my whole family lives in like Marblehead and
Essex County and
Essex County.
Yeah, buddy. Yeah, we stand the hooligans that are
beginners
drinkers. You know.
Well, on that, someone just said meth is not that bad.
Meth is not that bad. Oh, wait, you know who's from somewhere near me? Who's from Methuen, Massachusetts, was Dana of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Oh, my God.
25,000?
She was from Methuen.
25,000?
Yeah, 25,000.
25,000.
Can you believe it? And when she was like, don't worry, because it's like, we're girls. And like, I'm there for you, and I have your back, because we're girls.
Yeah, we're sisters. She says that to Kyle
and Cam.
We're
sisters.
We don't like sisters around here.
We also hate our sisters. Hello.
Yeah, we hate our sisters. The wrong thing to say.
Dana also lit a cigarette with a restaurant candle.
Yeah.
That's an
absolute
baller move.
I drink a lot and I love it. And I fuck a lot.
And her ex was like, her fiance was like cheating on her, right?
Yeah.
So sad.
She had a tragic, she was like in and out. Really quick, in the blink of an eye.
She reminds me. So Dana, so Sutton is the rich Dana. How about that?
Ooh, totally.
True.
What do you think of Sutton?
I like her.
I think that she is good for the show. I agree. People who will disagree. I'm sorry, we can't be getting along. I don't want friends. I want enemies. I appreciate how hysterical Sutton. So Sutton's always on the verge of tears.
I love it. Yeah. That's me.
She keys it up. What the amazing thing too is like when you start the fire and then you like can't handle it, and so then you cry.
Let the mouse go. Like, let the mouse go.
Go.
I also love when they're pulling up for Teddy's event and she goes, "I'm gonna cry.
I'm gonna fucking lose it." And
I was like, "I'd be crying too." Sounds like a nightmare.
Having to go to Teddy's retreat.
Oh, when she went to Teddy. I thought you were talking about when she went to the other party where she thought the makeup guy who used to be Rachel Zoe's makeup guy, Joey?
I think so, yeah.
She thought that Joey was going to be there and she like fucked him over or something.
Yeah, they had some shady business deal.
Which I have to know exactly the financials of.
We need to know that.
Wait, let's talk about Dorit and PK. Oh, sorry. Do I have to get off soon?
No, we just have a couple minutes and then we have another guest, but let's talk about Dorit and PK.
Do you think it's a house of cards?
Yes. Absolutely.
I want to trust them, but I'm also easily fooled by like glamour on these shows. Like I'm just like, oh, they're in a new house and they're renovating it. So they just must be rich.
What do you think? Do you think
I can't put my finger on what's wrong. I don't understand because her accent is not real. And like they shouldn't be renovating a $6 million house in Encino. Like these things all make sense. But I trust her. But are they scam artists? No.
I think they might be.
What was the claim? What did Camille say last year that they were being sued?
Oh.
Yeah.
Allow our new guests to the stage.
Oh my God.
Hello.
Hi, I'll get off.
No, okay. Wait, so Z-Way, where can people follow you?
Yeah, tell everyone they can follow you. Follow
me at Zway F on Instagram or Zway at Twitter. I'll write in the comments too. And you can't, you're not going to
You write for you write for TV? You write for
Yes, I write for Showtime's Jesus and Mero. Yeah. I voice Kamala Harris on A Cartoon President and Susan Shepherd and Tori Hughes on Tuning Out the News.
And please watch your hilarious web series Baited.
Yes, it's on my Twitter and my YouTube.com.
Truly some of the funniest shit I've ever seen. So
thank you. You're so sweet.
Please go on that. It's so funny. Thank you so much for being here. You're the best.
Yeah.
Bye, thanks for having me. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to my jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul summertime without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic and comfy year after year.
Quince has it all, like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more.
The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us.
And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
As you know, I've been on my fitness journey in 2024, so I'm getting into athleisure wear a lot. I have Quince long sleeve shirts, shorts, t-shirts. I wear it to the gym. I wear it out. I wear it to Whole Foods. I wear it to 7-Eleven to buy my Diet Cokes. I'm wearing it all over town.
And people are noticing.
People are fucking noticing.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/sexyunique for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/sexyunique to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
quince.com/sexyunique.
A new quarter brings new goals, but what about your skincare goals? Small, easy changes in your routine can have amazing results, and your secret weapon should be Dime Beauty.
Dime Beauty is clean, high-end skincare that is affordable, and it really works. Dime didn't sacrifice performance just to make it clean, either. And when I say clean, Dime is 100% transparent about every single ingredient, so you can use their products daily with confidence. I have been using Dime Beauty's TBT cream and their Dewy Daily Cream. TBT cream is a retinol alternative that I put on at night before I go to bed, and it's actually been making my skin look glowy and snatched, if I do say so myself.
I've noticed that, and I think our listeners have noticed too, because I've been picking up on a bunch of TikTok comments that have been like, you're glowing recently. So hats off to Dime. No one has time to remember the order of a 10-step skincare routine. The Work System from Dime Beauty has everything you need in one powerful package. It includes a gentle cleanser, a toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers.
Plus, my favorite, Dime's TBT cream, is finally back in stock. Check that out while you're there.
Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally all 5 stars. This year, love your skin again. Go to dimebeautyco.com now and unlock your discount. That's dimebeautyco.com.
Hi, Danny.
Hi, Danny.
Hi, guys. How are you?
So nice to meet you, because we met.
Right. We met at the Watcho Crappens.
Watcho Crappens Live, but to see you again in core is another kind of thing, you know.
And first of all, can I just say I love the Buca di Beppo by Dorit background and the Kelly Bensimone. I mean, I truly feel at home.
It had to happen. Every day I'm like, why can't I go? Just, I need to be in the Dorit Lemon Room at Buca di Beppo. Like, I know, my soul is being called there.
I'm inviting myself along. Whenever you guys go, I need to be with you.
Yeah, the three of us will go. We'll make a res.
Please. Oh my God.
I think we can go to restaurants pretty soon in LA. So might be.
I think that it might be open because I was saying on the pod, I was looking at the Yelp reviews during last week's episode, like late at night, being like, what's the deal here with this Buca? Like, what's the best Buca in LA? And I think it is the Encino one. And I think it's open because someone had posted a review like 6 hours prior that was like, it's amazing. Like, I felt like we had the restaurant to ourselves.
Also, I think, Carrie, you were the one who posted this, but didn't Dorit like post promo on her Instagram for the Buca di Beppo? So I feel like it must be open.
She wrote Beverly Beach by Buca di Beppo. And she wrote Beverly Beach x Buca di Beppo.
She wore Terry onesie, like a full-blown like jumpsuit. And then she, I think over Memorial Day, celebrated Memorial Day the way any good American would, by catering her poolside hang with only Buca di Beppo. Nothing you want to eat. Nothing you would die to eat more than like a hot baked ziti on a summer day.
No.
Look, I love a Buca di Beppo, but that spread that she was showcasing on her Instagram was very sad. It was like what do they call the tomato and basil and mozzarella? I can't think of the name of it, but it was just also sad.
Caprese. It was a dry caprese. There was nary a drizzle in sight.
What I want to do at a hot Encino pool party with no shade is take my shirt off and eat ziti and then jump into the pool. That's
the
first thing I want to do.
Some good garlic bread and chicken parmesan before you hop in the pool.
Something like a hot melted cheese.
Yeah. How far away is it?
I don't feel like it's that far. You know, I've been watching that Selling Sunset on Netflix, and one of the women lives in Encino, and she keeps mentioning it. I'm like, oh my God, I feel like the world is throwing Encino at me lately in all different outlets.
No, wait, Encino? I've been to Encino.
Yeah. You're in Ryan Murphy's Hollywood.
Right? I'm in Hollywood.
No, I worked a job once at Encino, kid.
I've been to Encino. I know Encino. I was like a PA on a shoot there once when I needed money. And it was a whole other world. Yeah. So knowing that Dorit lives there actually makes sense. It's really nice. It's beautiful. The views are insane.
It's really nice. You can get really nice houses there, I think, for probably cheaper than just like Los Angeles proper.
I feel like all of the Beverly Hills women are so.
Did you say Take Fountain?
Yeah, Take Fountain.
Take Fountain.
Take Fountain.
Take Fountain. I should have taken Fountain. It was crazy. Traffic.
It was crazy.
I should have taken Fountain. Everyone was talking like Kim Richards in Hollywood. They were chanting.
I wish Kim Richards was in it. I mean, she's a good actress. Give her a role.
She's a great actress. Where are her roles?
Didn't you post that video from Black Snake Moan recently? Where
she's in one scene, and she's really good in one scene. She plays Christina Ricci's mother. And she's great. She could do like some good. The movie wasn't good, but she's good in it.
Yeah, she's like working at a grocery store, right? And she's like, "You peddle your pussy out to every Dick and John, every like what?"
And she's just labeling all the foods in the aisle, like with the prices.
She's a true pro.
She's bringing slut pig energy to the role. Method actress.
She's good. I would argue that she's maybe like the best actress in this world. Like, in terms of raw talent. Like, I think.
I agree with you.
I think she's the best. Eileen's good in like a soap opera. Eileen's great in a soap opera way, but.
No, Kim has like that. She's like a truly good actor. Yeah. You're right. I think Kyle's not great.
Excited to see Kyle though in Halloween. I know we're supposed to be talking about New York, but we're all
no. It's all like
it's loose. It's loose around these parts.
Kyle was so good in the original Halloween, so I can't wait to see what she has in store.
I'm happy that she's recreating the bang look because it was so seemingly important to her character work.
Right? She definitely suggested that. She was like, I think she should just do this. So Danny, what is your history with this episode of Roni Scary Island?
I mean, Scary Island to me is like the best of the whole, all of Housewives franchise. It's also like where everything started. And I think if you look at the three episode arc of Scary Island, it has like everything we like from Housewives. Like it has the Luann music career that is now a staple on these shows. And then it has just like the vacations that, you know, we get every season. And there's like drama, there's laughs, there's absurdity. Like it's truly just like, to me, I literally do, I joke about it, but I really do watch it at least like once a year. Like I love the three episodes, and it's just great. You know, I actually interviewed Sonia Morgan about Scary Island like a year ago, and it was a crossover episode with the Bravo podcast that they have, and I was asking her these questions, and they were recording the audio, and some of the audio got returned back to me with certain things edited out. And so that leads me to believe, I hope no one's going to go share this online or anything because I don't want to get in trouble. But
guys,
Cave of Secrets, everyone.
The vault is open and we're closing it.
Yeah, no.
Yeah,
I
need to know the truth. And I knew that you would know the truth because I saw full confession. I'd seen your post on Twitter where you were like, release the footage. And I was like, he knows things. We need him.
Okay.
We need him now more than ever.
Because that, more than ever before, that was the moment where I was like, oh, there's secrets here, right? Like that, because I had asked her things and it wasn't like she revealed too much. Like she revealed something about Kelly, but I don't really remember because I was just thinking, oh, I'll go listen to this back when I get the audio back. And then when I got the audio, because I wasn't in control of it, it was like a crossover thing. So when I got it back and there was just like a lot of stuff edited out, I was like, oh, that's something's up here. Like they're trying to hide a lot of the secrets. Whoa.
So what
are they protecting? What do they think they're protecting?
Like, there was something she said about Kelly being escorted, which I think like that is the biggest thing that they do try to hide of like what exactly happened with Kelly. Because even I would think in the episode, they would have at least shown like a quick cutaway of Kelly at airport or saying goodbye or leaving. Like there was nothing from that next day when she left. It's just, it just cuts ahead.
She was just gone.
There has to be something like something. Yeah,
and then the next episode when they all realize she's gone, it seems very like acting. Like they're like, oh, she left in the middle of the night. Like, you know what I mean? So that actually makes a lot of sense. Like you think she was like medically like taken out,
helicoptered,
airbagged. Well, and then there's that whole story about how like Jill ran into her in the airport. And I think if this were to happen now, then there would have been like camera phone footage of Kelly and Jill running into each other at the airport. Like somebody would have taken out a camera phone. Mm-hmm. But I still think there has to be footage. Like there had to have been a producer with Kelly, right?
Yeah.
Well, who do you think, like, because I guess it's Sonia who kind of spent the most time with Kelly at the dinner and then really sussed out, like, oh, this person's fully crazy.
Yeah, that's the thing that
and
I wanted
Sonia
to
ask. Sonia's the first one that's like, you guys, like, we can't actually speak with her anymore because it's unfair because she's, like, lost it. And it truly takes one to know one energy because if anyone's going to go off, like, the true deep end, it's Sonia Morgan who can, like, be sent into a mystical realm with like just seeing like a letter on the wall.
Yeah. Did you see like Sonia's face? Like I was watching, cause I've watched it too. Dan, I watch it like once a year or two pretty much. And I always forget how the little cutaways to Sonia's face and you see this like stony, not stony, more like just placid, like, okay. Like you see the light going on in her head. Like she's truly unraveled and she's not well. Like, and it's so weird. It's like it was kind of gave me like chills seeing Sonia be like this. She gets it before anyone does because Bethany's so like, I think Bethany knows that she's kind of is not well, but I think Bethany's so defensive because Kelly's just been so horrible to her. So she's not thinking with compassion, which I totally get because Kelly was horrific to her, but you see Sonia just be like, oh guys, You know what I mean? And then they all start real. And that was and always
Sonya
like...
Sonya being the voice of reason is wild too, knowing how we know her now. And mm-hmm. You mentioned Bethany, and I have to say, like, Bethany, when she was pregnant, was to me like peak Bethany, because she was much more relaxed in her interviews and her confessionals. And so she was, to me, she was like more naturally funny because she wasn't trying so hard to be funny. And I like her a lot, but it's she had an ease when she was pregnant that she doesn't have otherwise.
Yeah, it like, I think also everything she went through with her dad, I feel like this season she really had no fucks to give. And she was just kind of like, you know what I mean? And everything with Jill, I think she was just like on the show and kind of like, and also because she's carrying a human. So she's like, I can't get too stressed.
She was softer.
Going with the flow.
She was. But do you, okay, so we were talking a little about like, who planted this when she's like accusing Bethany of planting the stories. Danny, was that the thing about Kelly like beating up her boyfriend? Remember that came out like that news story or something where they got into like some fight?
Yeah, there was some physical. I mean, I think with all of Kelly's stuff, it's hard to suss out like what is true and what's not, because I mean, even to this day, like I'll sometimes listen. Kelly was just on a podcast recently that I listened to. I don't remember what it was, but
what do you like in a podcast?
It's wild. She was also on my show like a couple years ago or something.
Oh my god, I need to.
But she like gives a different story every time. Like so, there's no. I can't speak today. My mind is absent-minded. But always changes her story. Everything she says is fucking different every single time she goes to tell the same story. And so it's hard to know what's true about like the ex-husband, about the ex-boyfriend, about her relationship with Bethany. It's just different every fucking time she gives an interview.
Yeah. What does she sound like these days? Like just her voice? Like
crazy.
Is she still like kind of all over the place or?
All over the place. Yeah, and like she still will talk about the show as if like it's a show and she was acting. Like that's how she sort of presents it a lot of times. But it's like you were escorted off the island, and if it was acting or whatever, then
I would imagine you were
bad.
Fully flanked by security guards at one elbow with a light touch leading you to a ship. She got 5150'd off of an island.
But then here's where I like, this is where I start to lose it. When you really look into like her career and her, she's done things that to me, like, I don't know, a person like her wouldn't be able to accomplish. Like she has books. I believe she's graduated from college. Like they mentioned in the episode.
Columbia.
And so it's like, nothing adds up. Like it's all makes little sense.
She also, and her vocabulary is so... I mean, I think she wasn't really in this realm in this episode.
People are saying in the comments that those books are bad. I've never actually read them, but I know she does have multiple books.
I Can Make You Hot is truly, it's a must read. And I thought, I used to own it because someone gave it to me and then they never wanted it back. And then I kind of perused through it and it was all about just like how to be hot, which is mostly just like you need to think that you're hot. But then also the second half of it was like her recipes. And I knew how dark things got when it, like I just opened up to one recipe and she was like, Teddy's favorite omelet. And it was like boiled tofu and scrambled eggs. And I was like, no one actually would like this. And you're saying that because you're like trying to like gaslight your kid who like, you know, Teddy was kind of like pudgy or whatever. And Kelly like poked at that a bit. And I was just like, no, like this is a psychotic person like writing a book. And then I guess I gave it away because I was going to try and bring it out tonight. And they looked at my bookshelf and I realized I too must have said, I need this out of my life.
Or it's missing.
You gave it to someone in need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the kind of thing. It's like the Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants. The book goes where it goes on its own journey.
So it's hot somewhere else right now because of that.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys felt this, like I felt this in my marrow, how dark it was when she is talking to C on her cell phone and she's like, Hey, it's my kid. It's my kid. And then you see her off to the side and she goes, C, I'm so sorry. I missed riding yesterday.
See,
I'm so sorry I missed riding yesterday. Also, I love how she goes, thank you so much to like every, multiple like all times. The like staff of the boat and everything.
Have you guys ever done a deep dive into her real estate videos on Instagram?
No.
No.
I don't know if she still does them, but she was doing real estate and she was creating videos for the houses that she was hoping to sell, but she wasn't the realtor on a lot of the videos that she was presenting on Instagram. So it was basically just like a woman in an open house being like, hey, I'm here at 5140 Sweetser.
No, like she's just trying crazy. To get a portfolio of like to show that she could be good at doing this if she had a house to sell. Wow.
Please go and check it out when we're done here. Just like go to her Instagram and go back a while because these go back about a year or maybe even longer. And they are
just assumed. Amazing. Yeah, I think I just saw them on Instagram because I'm pretty sure I follow her. And then I just assumed like, oh, she's in real estate, like classic move.
So for a while, she wasn't. Now I think she is. She has gotten her realtor license, I believe. But early on,
pushed everyone into thinking that she'd had some great properties. It worked on me. I was like, amazing. Love that for her.
She should join the Oppenheim group.
Yes.
And be on Selling
Sunset.
Put her up against Maya. That'd be fun.
Oh, I love it.
I also...
Are they in direct competition with the agency?
You know, I'm surprised they haven't done an agency show.
Our next guest is here.
Our next guest is here. We can merge for a while.
Yeah.
Hi. Oh, I'll leave. Sorry.
No.
Oh, don't worry. Welcome, Ray. Worries.
Welcome. Hi. Good. How are you?
Hey, Stanny is here. Hi, Ray. I'm Carrie. We've never met, but thank you so much for being here. I'm so excited you're here.
Hi.
I think something might be off with the audio.
Okay.
Yeah, it seems a little crunchy or something.
Maybe it's my earrings.
I always have trouble with those AirPods. Whenever I try to use the audio in the AirPods, it always is weird.
It's weird? Okay, so then I'll just disconnect. You know, I just tried to pretend I was rich with one fucking...
They look great. They look good. We were just talking about Kelly Bensimon. So
we're all going to do a deep dive into her real estate Instagram videos because they're wild.
Did you know that she does? Do you follow her on Instagram, Ray?
No, I purposely do not follow any housewives on Instagram except for Kenya Moore because she's the love of my life. But no,
amazing.
I love that you love Kenya too, Ray, because I love her so much.
She's excellent television. Perfect.
I was also going to say I found a parallel between Kelly leaving and Katie leaving on Potomac.
Ooh.
When they were in
right.
A meltdown and then an exit.
Yes, just like mysteriously vanishing. and no one, and Katie's boy or her fiance was like, I have no idea where she is. And they were all just like they were literally looking for her on the beach. And they made more of a meal of that than they did in with Kelly leaving, which is what I think, Danny, to your point, that if this had happened now, it would have been like that with Kelly.
I feel like we would have seen producers if it happened now, and they would at least like kind of dip their toe into breaking the fourth wall. But you know, back then they were so afraid to like reference production or anything like that.
It's like pre-mental illness, like breaking through. Like, so also it just like was better if you just thought Kelly was like wacky and loved her jelly beans and then had to leave, like rather than being like,
I was kind of alarmed by that. I was like, so we not gonna step in? Cause she's really like,
yeah,
it's too much. I was like, if Sonia is the voice of reason here, you need to, somebody in production needs to send her to bed. Bethany shouldn't send her to bed.
Right.
Sonia should have.
She needs like an expert to send her to bed.
Right.
It's also so funny. You mentioned Bethany saying, you know, go to sleep. And it's so crazy to think that like we pass like 7 more years and then Bethany's referencing that line again. I think it was last season in Miami when Bethany said, go to sleep again. And it's like so weird that these women are now doing their own catchphrase work. Mm-hmm. It's like so funny.
That is like feels like Inception of some kind.
It was amazing though to see that Bethany has not stopped hawking shit from like the minute she got on that show. I was like, mm-hmm. Oh, skinny girl stuff. Great. Great.
I did like when even though it was like an insane reaction, I kind of love that when Kelly saw the merch bag of all the skinny girl stuff, and she was like, why would she do it? And she goes, I don't understand this girl. And I was like, I kind of admired her for just being like, why is she hawking her shit at me?
She does the horror movie like that.
Saw it in the bed. And like it was so impersonal, like my knees were in the back, and then has no choice but to let. She's laying. Also, her underwear is out, like her legs are up, and her legs are like splayed, and she's just like.
She has like 30-foot long legs that are just like off the bed onto the floor, and one of her legs is just like she has like restless leg syndrome, and she's just going.
At least Kelly was calling out the product placement though at an early time. She was like, enough of this fucking skinny girl shit. Yep.
Kelly has moments of like extreme clarity in her meltdown. Like when she's telling Sonia, she's like, let it go. It's too fast. And I was like,
I was just gonna say that.
Moly.
I was just gonna say Kelly was the first person to be like, hey Sonia. The Morgan ship is like that. Kelly was the she totally called. She caught her number.
Kelly was ahead of her time,
and that I had that moment where I was like, "Whoa, like she's back in like on Earth in this moment." You know, like she's like she gets it, and then she went away again. But it's like she's going in and out of like.
She also was spot on about Alex when she was trying to photograph Alex. I mean, she looks fucking weird, man. And
her
Alex
mouth is too tight. Alex is like
Johan face.
I have the quote. This quote that she said, she went, she got right into Alex's face, which was so like uncomfortable. Alex was terrified of her on the beach.
Yes, totally.
I have to be honest, Kelly made me extremely uncomfortable. I don't know what I was walking into. Like, she was traumatized by that photo shoot.
Kelly gets right in Alex's face and she goes, think of Johan, that little baby face. Like, mom, like with your soft face. And then Alex, she just walks, and like, what are you supposed to do with that?
Well, she slithered like a snake, apparently. It was so weird. It was just...
Oh, yeah. And then Alex... I have the audio of Alex laughing when she's like... No. She's like, laugh a little. Hold on.
Laugh it out. Come on, laugh it out, Alex.
Sent straight to hell.
We were in hell in that moment.
Where does everyone land on Alex ultimately? Like, looking back, do you hate her or do you, where do we land on her?
I just don't hate her. But
she's kind of like Miranda energy.
She's more awkward than Miranda. Miranda didn't make me feel uncomfortable in my body, right? Alex made me hate my limbs when she was walking on the beach. I was like, damn, fuck legs. Legs are terrible. Why do we? This is awkward.
Alex made me feel just desolation when I looked at her.
I almost am astonished that she and her husband agreed to the show. Like, I know they were like, especially her husband, like super, super fame thirsty, but
right.
How can you not see how awkward you people are together on camera and keep going? They would have stayed on that show if they got kept on that show. Like,
I do respect that they gave it like the good old Hollywood try. Like, after they got booted off Roni, then they went to the marriage boot camp.
And then
I think they probably thought like, let's see if we could get another show. And then they weren't able to in like 6 months. And they were like, let's just move back to another country and give it up.
We're gonna go.
And
they gave it up. Yeah.
Now Alex has her master's degree in psychology.
Wait, for real?
Simon graduated from law school.
So
is that a post Roni accomplishment?
Mm-hmm.
Oh wow, good for them. Actually, that's actually really cool. I'm into it.
Ray, I was saying before that I friended Alex on Facebook in 2012 and Simon, like I'm friends with both on their personal Facebooks, and like every so often she'll post a status update and I'll be like, oh yeah, I'm friends with Alex McCord. She just posted that she's got her master's in psychology from an Australian university.
Is it like just like endlessly normal stuff?
I was reading a few. It's just like, it's mostly her like posting like pithy little like posts about like the rain in Australia and like how much rain they've had, and like she says mum now with a U.
Oh really?
And she's just
right,
like,
book her master's. Fuck that. You're gonna do
the mum. Like, she's like, the bush, though, she's first the bushfire, now the locust.
Have the accent. She's going to quickly adopt whatever accent of whatever country she's living
gonna
in.
She's going to Madonna it so bad, so bad.
I know that Bravo would never like pay the money to fly her in for a scene, but I wish they would. Like, just for one scene. Like, I always like when they come back for just one scene. Like, I don't need them around the whole season, but I want to see, like, Kelly Ben Simone, Alex McCord. I want to see him pop in for one scene. Give us a little update and then go away. And Alex is the one that I feel like it'll never happen because Bravo just wouldn't pay for her flight.
Yeah.
They should send everyone to Australia and then they could have Alex just pop in there.
You do like a girls' big trip that they should do a trip to Australia.
Wait,
yeah, they always go to Mexico. They go to Mexico every year and it's like, send them to Australia.
What city in Australia does she live in? Does she live in Melbourne? Because if she lives in Melbourne, maybe she could pop up on the Melbourne
Housewives of Melbourne.
Yes, which is really good.
Yeah, it's so
good. It is really good.
Yeah, yeah.
Why even a deck of cards?
Do we know why Bravo didn't air Melbourne?
I'm looking up where I think they live in.
I watch the Melbourne Housewives online and they don't like edit any of the swearing out or anything.
No.
And it's like so much better. Like,
yes, it is.
I wish like everyone
C words and like we get to hear them. Like with Kenya, like I knew there was a C word in there, but like I didn't get to hear the fury that's sitting with Tanya. But like on Melbourne, I'm like, yeah, she did call you a cut in the bathroom. She did.
They always say get fucked. Like I say that to my boyfriend as a joke. Like get fucked. Get fucked.
Get fucked.
Did you guys ever watch Real Housewives of Vancouver?
No. I didn't know that existed.
That one, I think there's one season. It's a wild season.
It's on YouTube,
what is
right?
The personality of a city like Vancouver. I don't know anything about Vancouver.
I didn't either. They're all like they live in these like insane, it's very wealthy there, I guess. And they have like one of them lives on like a private island that only like mega rich people. I think like where Harry and Meghan were staying.
Oh yeah.
And like one gets places.
The Prince Edward Islands?
I think that's it. I don't know where that, but one of the housewives gets places by
geography. I'm revealing myself right now.
she gets around by like seaplane. Like that's one of the.
For real? Like to and from her home.
Like her son goes off to college and she has like these hot sons.
Kyle would kill herself if she saw that.
Right?
She would die.
Right?
Wait, so Laura, what was like the personality of those people?
They were pretty brutal with each other. Like they were very like, I don't remember. I only watched like a few episodes, but they didn't fuck around. Like they were formidable casts. I was like kind of into it.
So Canadian politeness is a lie.
Yeah, they were not. I mean, the one that had lived on the island was like, she was kind of demented and she was like a boy mom, you know? So she was like very like, I'm a boy. She had like five sons.
Oh, okay. Got it.
She was just like, kind of like, they all love me. You know what I mean? And like, she was kind of like.
So putting her in a group of women was the best, worst possible thing.
Exactly.
Got it.
So it was a lot of, I don't know, but it's on YouTube. So I think you guys should try to look it up. It's pretty scary.
Yeah, there's so much I need to avoid, like so many responsibilities to avoid. So thank you. This is very exciting. I now can shirk responsibilities for 8 more episodes.
Right.
Wasn't there a Melbourne housewife couple that like went to go fly and get cheese in a seaplane? Or am I just like imagining that?
Is it like the dark haired woman with that dog that she thought was like so gorgeous and she brought everyone? Everywhere's her name Lydia.
Lydia. Get fucked, Lydia.
Get fucked, Lydia.
Get fucked, Lydia.
She and her like elegant Italian dog. She's Italian. She kept talking about how Italian she was. Yeah.
Right.
Literally, you're not Italian if you live in Australia. Like, can we just agree on that? Like, I'm sorry, but no. You've lost Italian privileges. Like, that's like the least Italian you can possibly get.
I love Laura saying this in a Buca di Beppo. And in-
I know. I'm like, literally have no ties to Italy. Like, which by the way,
is that the only photo of Dorit's Buca di Beppo that exists?
I think that's, so.
Is that the only one that exists?
Yeah. I think so.
And I don't think it's even confirmed that it actually is. Like, it's just on a website. When you Google search Dorit Kemsley Buca di Beppo, this pops up. So, like,
it's just a Getty image.
It's just like,
Ray, if you want to, because you're in New York, right?
How real it is.
No, I'm in LA still.
Oh, you're in LA? Okay. Yeah. So, we're planning to go to Buca di Beppo and Encino when lockdown's up.
Absolutely.
Are you in?
I'm so in. And okay. I want to see if people would tell us, like, trash. Like, if they know, like, will the waiters be like, yeah, she fucking put these stupid daisies on the wall. And, like, I want to know. We have to do it.
The lemons.
Staff thing.
Wait, do you guys think that she actually designed that? Like, I feel like she outsourced her terrible taste to someone with worse taste. Like, that looks insane. I can't believe she would put her name on that.
It's really authentically Dorit to me. Like, I really am fully buying it. Like, I was like, she did. Like, I feel her energy in this one room of a one Buca di Beppo. Yeah.
I want to know what happened to all those photos that were on the wall, like the photos of every fucking family that ever sat down in that restaurant around the walls, like every corner. Where did they all go?
She should have left that for some authentic BDP. Mm-hmm. Right? Like,
but you can't... Capri. Come on, Capri.
But she made
all like bougainvillea. I love like fake. I just am really appreciative of all the fake plant energy that's going on in like what is truly just a dark room. That room hasn't seen sunlight in years. Since it was built, people probably smoked cigs in this room for generations. And then the carpet has just been like redone over and over.
Wait, is there carpet? I can't. Is there a carpet in there?
It's all hardwood.
No, hardwood, baby. Hardwood. That's actually like, hardwood.
What makes you choose piss-colored tablecloth?
I don't know.
Advertising about that. It's like pea green or something. It's so weird.
I think she was like, we're on a veranda in Capri right now. That's what I'm seeing, you know? And it's like...
They piss on the tables in Capri.
They piss on the tables in Capri, I guess.
The best. I want to know how it works with like the rest of the restaurant, because it's just the one room. So like, how does the flow work? Like, that's what I mean.
No flow.
Look at you actually caring about this business when we're all just laughing at them.
I think that it's like you're in a sea of red, blood red everywhere, brick, and then somewhere a door opens and you're in the lemon room. Yeah.
But is it like, okay, so is there like a door, maybe like a sign like above the door that's like the Dorit? Like,
welcome to Dorit's Buddha Lounge.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Do you like rent it out for private parties? Like, they
have like the Pope room at the normal Buca di Beppo's. So like
the
have like
Pope room.
Is this like they have like a Vatican theme room that I've eaten in, and they had like a Pope head like in the middle of the Lazy Susan.
Oh, excuse me, fancy, in the back room of Buca di Beppo.
Right?
I feel like it's a good, this is like a whole good branding thing for Buca di Beppo. Like, they haven't gotten this much press in ages.
Yeah. Right?
The last time I haven't seen one, I think maybe I had like needed to pee really bad at the Grove. So that was like the only reason like I went in there. The food is horrible. Like,
it has like big Grove energy for sure.
Yeah.
It's same. Like plant at the Grove, Planet Dailies is booked. So you go to Buca di Beppo.
Do you think Dorit, I feel like I could see Dorit, going back to Kelly and Roni, I feel like I could see Dorit pulling like a Kelly exit. Right?
Like from a vacation?
Yeah. I feel like I see that in her, especially with how like tense it's getting with her and...
You know, I think all of the Beverly Hills women are like, are doing more work this season in general, because I think they're all a little on edge about their jobs. And I think LVP, even though however you feel about her, I think she did take up a lot of real estate on the show. So they've all sort of had to kind of,
You see them jockeying. They're jockeying the whole time. It's like, okay, you know, they've come to dinner and it's like each of them has decided today is the day I become queen at like around the table.
Yeah.
And it's so bizarre because it's fascinating to watch people walk into a room trying to exude bad bitch energy and they're crumbling at like the first you know, sign of like discomfort, but it's like fascinating. It's like, wait, Rena, aren't you friends with Kyle? Wait, what are we doing with Garcelle? Yeah. And ain't you a bad bitch? Why are you crying? It's like so weird to watch like women pushing 50 or whatever move around like mean ass kindergarten girls. It's so fascinating.
It is. Yeah, that, and also I liked the last episode with the callback to the last to the dinner party from hell with the like astrology psychic.
That actually really disappointed me. I'm sorry to cut you off. It really disappointed me because it was just like, look, it's too soon for a reboot, and your reboot was whack. Like, here's this guy being like, oh, you know, I've clearly done research on you guys by watching this show. So
yeah.
Flatter you the quickest way possible. And it's like, no, I need you to promise me the demise of a marriage. Like, what the fuck? Corny. Like, sorry, I swear so much.
Come on, we're all.
I also hated how Erica shut down. Like, there was a fight that was starting between Sutton and someone else, and Erica's like, not in my home. It's like, we're in a private home. If there's any place that two of these women could fight, it's in a private home. Like, let them
know.
But I don't understand how Dorit and Sutton can't argue in her home, and she's got rules about what we can discuss and how we can discuss in your house, but we could still say dicks and whatever we want in front of Denise's children. It just seemed like a disconnect.
Yeah.
But I've got general Erica issues and dislikes, so let me not lean in, but I hate her.
I go back and forth on Erica.
You don't like Erica?
No, I don't enjoy her. I've never enjoyed her. It like she has been wearing drag the whole time. And I mean that in like the full sense of the word. It's like the look, the persona, like she's never felt authentic to me.
And yeah, like, she's like, yes, hunty. And you're just like, okay. Like,
Pat the Puss, you are not a reggae singer. Like, what are we doing here? And it was just like, to watch the contrast between her behavior around the women and like when her husband walks into a room, like that's not a person who's being themselves. Like either her husband doesn't know who the fuck she is or her friends don't know who she is. And I get the sense that nobody in the world knows who she is.
I think that's true. Cause remember, I have moments where I enjoy her, and then I saw her at Watch What Happens Live when they were in LA, and she came out and surprised everyone, and I got swept up in it, and I started squealing, like I was like screaming. And I'm not even that big of an Erica Jane, like I'm not like an Erica Jane head, but when she came out, I was like, like I just got, so she does have that effect sometimes, but the moment that turned me off so much was when Eileen mentioned something about her son being a police officer. And she wasn't saying anything bad about, like, she wasn't, like, coming for her at him. But Erica was like, don't you talk about my, and, like, made Eileen feel so terrible.
Yeah.
And she misunderstood what Eileen said. And Eileen is, like, was one of the sweetest people, like, on that franchise. And she just belittled her and made her, and Eileen was crying. And I was like, don't come for Eileen, because I was very proud of her.
You know what?
Beast. But
also, like, a whole profession can't be off limits, right? Like,
yeah.
A whole job can't be off limits to discuss.
Yeah.
My son became a cop. Tough titties. Like, people might mention police. They're everywhere. Like, this part of my life, which is 95% of my life, is off limits. And I get to set in absurd boundaries, and no one else gets to set those same boundaries. That's insane to me. It's not fun to watch. And there seems to be a dark streak in her, and I'm like, lean in. Show me. You're so image obsessed. It's not fun.
My problem with Erica is that she sort of changed the franchise so much, and it all became about like her glam squad.
Yeah.
And I think because she had all of that going on, she didn't really have to bring a whole lot when it came to like cast interactions. it was like her job was safe because everyone was so like enamored by her glam squad and her career. And she was almost on like a separate show for like 3 seasons. And then all the other housewives started doing that because they thought, oh, Erica's been really successful with just bringing in crazy outfits and doing her own show. And for a couple seasons on Beverly Hills, I felt like they were all sort of doing their own shows and there wasn't a whole lot of like interaction. And it worked for Erica and like good for her that it worked. But it's like, I don't want to see every single housewife trying to do that same mold of like, I'm going to just bring fashion to the show and not bring anything else.
Yeah, that's true.
She had a lot of like, it was like a lot of wealth flexing too in a different way than the other women did it, which
she's very new money.
But also like so ostentatious that it's almost like she buys the right to make these weird boundaries that somehow the other women, like they just accept them rather than crossing them.
She kind of just reminds me of a rapper in that way where it's like, here's an aggressive show of labels. Here's an aggressive show of like the tackiest wealth. And Dorit, I love it on Dorit because I don't know why, but I love me some Dorit. I love, she reminds me of like Jenny from the Block circa 2001 in her fashion and her looks. And I'm just here for like New York tackiness, you know?
Yeah.
And, but on Erica, it just, because her face is so, she looks like a porcelain doll almost. Like I expect Erica to be like carrying class a certain way, but then she like slaps the tackiest thing on and it's jarring for me. It doesn't feel organic or lived in.
Yeah, it doesn't. I think that's really, yeah, I think that was, she has like a shadow around her at all times. And I think it comes off in the show a lot. And I think she almost has like a Nomi from, Showgirls energy of just like, I come from different places and that's all you're gonna get, you know? And you're just like,
just
like if you try to talk to her about it, she's like, nope, you know? And like she has this whole like, I want to know about her past where she was dancing at that bar that Danielle Staub used to work at in New Jersey, you know, that they go to that bar.
Yeah,
it was like, you know, she was tipping all the dancers. Like that was like kind of cool seeing that. And I was like, I want to know about your past in the 90s New York as like a young model trying to like be famous. And like,
I do think this season she is sort of opening up more than we've seen her. I mean, I agree with you guys too, but it's still right? Controlled. You're right. Yeah.
She decided, excuse me, this isn't something that came up organically in conversation, right? Like I used to be a stripper. I mention it organically or whatever all the time, but here she is. She used to be a go-go dancer or stripper, whichever you think it is. And it's not like, oh, stop talking about strippers negatively. I used to be one. That would be a lovely way to hear about that. But it's like, on a trip we pre-planned to go to New York, I got us a bus so that we could go to a strip club on designated hours so you could see what I... And it's like, there's nothing authentic about this. She didn't even really have, like, good engaging conversation about it when they were there. It was just like,
I got money, and
I got out. And it's like, no, tell me about the time, like, you slapped a customer because he tweaked your nipple. Like, I want to know.
Yeah.
Dorit, too. I mean, Carrie, I think you said Dorit has won you over or something. And I feel the same way. Like, Dorit has like a weird quirkiness that I was really turned off by at first.
Oh,
and
now I'm
like totally charmed by her. And like, and I think she's absurd. And I think her and PK are con people. But once I sort of gave into
the
idea.
You're in the camp that they are fully, they're like, they're scammers.
Oh, 100%. Yes.
1000%.
I wouldn't believe anything more.
I need to be educated on their scam.
I just feel like he has like, I think he just like is one of those people that's like, yeah, we'll do it. We'll get in business together. Like just get, you know, and then like someone like wires some money and then it puts it, it's like kind of Ponzi.
Yeah. Follow through on anything. Yeah. They've never completed a business venture or whatever. It's just like, okay, somebody put $10 million in my bank account. I promised them bathing suits and the bathing suits never arrived. They got lost in the mail.
Yeah. Oh. Like, well, and I think I feel like Dorit is like pure camp, which is like what lacks, because I think it used to be campier, especially on Beverly Hills, and I think Dorit has that, like, she's just so, you're right, like, she's absurd. Everything she says, like, when they showed the photo shoot of like her like in her house before Teddy's event, I was crying because it was like, she looked great.
That was, she looked amazing. Fantastic.
Incredible.
She looked amazing, but it was just so funny. She was just like, you know, and it's like, she's just doing it, you know?
And I also morphed. Like the additional layer of it making Kyle so mad made it perfect. It was like, perfect. It was like, what an absurd thing to be this angry about. And it made me love it so much more. I was like, lean on that wall, bitch. Like,
yeah.
You can't figure out what Dorit's going to do next either, because it's like, you mentioned she did the fucking swimsuit line. Now she's doing Buca di Beppo.
She's had a Buca pivot.
You could look at skinny girl, even like skinny girl did like lunch meats at one point, but I feel like there's still at least like an umbrella of what Bethany's skinny girl is. Mm-hmm. But Dorit's umbrella of her branding is just like all over the fucking place. I just saw something online. She posted a recipe that she did. I think it was like a tuna pasta or like, it was a very bizarre recipe she posted.
I saw that too.
I'm like, what are you doing this for?
Wait, so she's that was like the rap game Ina Garten? Like, what is she
right? Like, none of it doesn't make sense.
That is crazy.
That tuna pasta was channeling the devil. Someone had tagged me in that. I don't know, but I was like, this isn't, it's not tuna helper time, Dorit. Like, no.
Did it look bad because it was a bad dish or because Dorit made it?
I think it's just like a tuna in a pasta. Yeah, it's just like, it doesn't mesh for my like personal taste. Like, I'm all about any other.
Nobody.
Apologies to like the tuna community, but like that's overstepped.
All tuna heads.
Like truly, tuna pasta is like, can't think of anything worse.
I don't know if it was like attached to any sort of like social media promo, or it was just like Dorit's like, this is my famous tuna casserole or whatever. She's like, what the fuck is this?
Also, the fact that I'll never forget the fact that Boy George was just like living with them. Like, that's like, her life is so weird. That's why she's
him behind a curtain for a party.
Yeah, they were like, and then the reveal was Boy. Like, I mean, he's cool, right? But it's just like Boy George just manifests in Dorit's like parlor.
PK, his manager, is that what the connection is?
Yeah, but that's I don't understand that either, because do you know a lot of managers who just manage one client? And there was a lot of years where Boy George wasn't really working, and I like Boy George, but I don't know. It was just like, I don't trust anything they do, and I love that.
Sounds money laundering scheme to me to have a manager when you're not working for like years and years that you have to pay.
Can I just say a theory that just came to me?
Yeah.
Okay. PK knew the Vanderpumps from years before. Mm-hmm. And the Vanderpumps knew James Kennedy's dad, who used to be like affiliated with George Michael.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So is there some kind of like greater that all goes back to the Vanderpump Todd?
Like, were they just monopolizing the underbelly of like the gay scene in England?
Yes.
Yes. Wow. You just said it, and now we said it.
It will be revealed tonight, and it's like,
oh, somebody says the Maddoxes are involved. Who are the Maddoxes?
Oh, Ariana?
Ariana?
Wait,
how are they involved?
How are they involved?
We need to elaborate on this theory.
Rupert Maddox. Who's Rupert Maddox? Murdoch.
Oh, Rupert Murdoch.
Who's like Ariana?
How's Ariana involved?
And her brother?
Yeah. But like, think about it. Imagine for a second, like in like 1987, like old Soho, like the gay scene of Soho, and like Vanderpump, like they're all like coming up with this scheme together, and like set, you know, insurance fraud and managing gay singers. Yeah. Like, I don't know. It just maybe all. I feel like they're all connected.
I mean, I
don't know. I'm just being.
I wouldn't put a scam past LVP and Ken, because
never.
They're good friends with Muhammad Hadid, who apparently is a scammer, and they only fell out with Dorit and PK because her other scam got called out. So look, I love LVP. So
I mean, really want the origin story of James's mom and her relationship to LVP and Ken. Like, I feel like there's some good stuff there. Like, if we could get camera footage of when James was taking his first steps at Tiffany's.
At fucking Tiffany's. Yeah.
You took your first steps at Tiffany's. And And this American, like, young ingenue, like, coming into this, like, London scene. Like, her story is wild, probably.
And also remember, like, there was a discrepancy between how close James seemed to think his parents were to Lisa and how, like, not close Lisa wanted us to understand who they actually were. So maybe there's something there, like,
yes. You
know, like Phaedra and her crimes with Apollo or whatever.
Yes.
We have to look like we've never done anything, you know?
Yeah. I think there, and like, there's some, okay, maybe it's like some blood oath, like we go down together, we don't like fuck around with each other. And maybe when, because Dorit's a PK's like second wife or third wife?
Third?
Or second
three
wife?
Three women.
I don't know. I didn't know that.
I think they just got married recently, right? Or like in the last like 6-7 years?
They got married definitely like around 10 or less years, right?
I don't know why I thought PK was married before Dorit. So I was thinking.
Doesn't he have an older children? I think.
Yeah, I think he is.
He does.
I'm looking him up right now.
Three separate women would have married PK. My goodness.
He was married to Loretta. He was married to Loretta from Portsmouth. That's what Wikipedia says.
Loretta from Portsmouth, you don't say. Love her.
The couple have three children, and before they moved to America, his wife and children returned to London in 2012. In March 2015, he married Dorit.
Oh, so it's...
So he let his children go back to England without him there to marry Dorit? Yeah, Somebody was escaping a scam or something.
It says Dorit and PK married at a lavish wedding in New York City. He has a son and a daughter from his second marriage. So he must have been married three times.
That's
wow.
Oh, so I was right about this.
Yeah. You knew.
Married PK. He's so gross. He's so
Bluebeard. I like.
Wait. Can I also just say, it says his occupation on Wikipedia is football chairman.
What?
And football chairman and property developer.
Football chairman.
A football chairman.
Like, is he on the board of a soccer team? Like, what?
Are we uncovering?
Or he just is a soccer fan. I think that we're honestly. I think one of the greater purposes of just like Sex Unique podcasts in general is to get into the darker realms of the LVP universe. And I didn't sign up to do it. It happened. It's fallen in my lap.
From New York, from Scary Island. Jersey theories about Beverly Hills Housewives.
But I'm so
nervous now that we're gonna get off.
We have witnesses, and if anything weird happens to literally any of us, who to call.
We're all gonna wake up tomorrow and it's gonna be like Carlton. When Carlton put a spell on Kyle's iPad, we're all just gonna have spells in our
iPad. Yeah, what did it say, like larva or something? Like, but I don't know, maybe Dorit was like Lisa when she... I'll close with this, with my theory. But maybe when Dorit was like, Lisa planted the story about Lucy, Lisa was like, hey, we have a deal that none of us rat each other out for anything. And you didn't play by the rules because you're the new wife.
Mm-hmm.
About to go. Just my theory.
But then Lisa had to go.
But then Lisa had to go because she couldn't keep her lies straight. But I still...
It's okay. We only needed her. I only need her on Vanderpump Rules now. I only need her shitting on Jax now.
Yes.
I'm good with that. That's the perfect sweet spot for Lisa. It's like, okay, she don't have to lie about dogs here. She don't have to do all this. Just tell Jax he ain't shit, you know, and I'm good.
Yeah.
Even on Vanderpump, though, I want her to just kind of dip in a little bit less than what she's
really
been
even a little less.
Yeah,
less. Yeah, this season
like a more removed stance.
This when I saw her at the baseball field, that was tough for my eyes. When she was when she showed up for the softball game, I thought, you know what,
Lisa, play this like, in your country, Lisa. What are you doing here?
Like maybe just back up. We don't need you at this scene.
I think there is something to her being on her like. It's her own turf. I think she is more comfortable. And I think at the end of Housewives, she wasn't comfortable anymore. And she was like rattled. So it was like she was kind of becoming undone. And I think when she's in the Vanderpump universe, she's like, at least in her eyes, is in control. So she's like more, she gives us a little more
Yeah, there's a hierarchy. She knows that she's like up here and all these people are down here to kind of bring it back to Kelly terms. But the longer she stays involved intimately with the Vanderpump universe, the more she levels down to eventually she's just like on their level.
I also just don't need Tom like fantasizing about shaving her. Like it's just, it makes them both look horrendous.
It's awful.
She loves men doing spawn con for her, like sexy spawn con for Lisa. Like she, it's never turns that opportunity down to have like a young man talk sexualized.
People want to fuck me, okay?
Yeah, she wants
mechanics. The mechanics of her planning a bra in Tom's suitcase was unhinged.
I think she wants to like win over straight men.
Yeah.
Like, I've already got the gays and the women, but now I need, like...
Okay, question.
It doesn't take much, though. I mean, all you have to do with a straight man is literally just stand there, and they're like, yeah, we want to fuck you. Like, I don't think it's, like... She's really thinking way too hard about
Wait,
it.
Wait, so Lisa loves... Right? Lisa loves a broken, like, brain, like... My friends call it broken bird. Like, Lisa has, like, a broken bird thing.
Fetish.
Would she like Kelly? I feel like she would weaponize Kelly on a vacation episode. Like if Kelly had been the one to pull the like tabloids out about Mauricio, it would have gone so successfully. Like it would have been amazing. I feel like.
I think she would have definitely use Kelly like a torpedo because Lisa knows how to, you're right. She knows how to like,
yeah, she would have known what to do with Kelly.
Like vulnerable. Like she did it with Brandy kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like she would have definitely I feel like this trip, although I'm grateful for Scary Island, it would have went completely differently if Lisa was there, but we might've gotten explosions in a better way in a different like, direction, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it would have, the other women would have melted down a lot more. I feel like if they had someone who was like clever enough to like steer Kelly,
I always think about how Scary Island would have went differently if Luann would have been there. I mean, I think Jill showed up at the perfect time, so ultimately I think Jill's presence was like perfect, but Luann was sort of like the one sort of god tier housewife or housewife that people really like look at. Mm-hmm. Who wasn't there. And although she was recording her single back in the States, they like think about like how it
would don't you know?
She went. No, I agree. I think Luann, it was missing her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I missed her.
But I mean, it's a classic episode. It's seminal. And I'm glad we got to talk about it. I'm glad we got to talk about lots of things other than Scary Island, and you guys are amazing.
Yeah, I'm just grateful that 10 years later we can all still talk about it and like connect on it
and find new things,
and we still have more to uncover. I still think there are still a ton of secrets, and I tweeted this, Laura, you mentioned it earlier, but I think that we need Bravo during this quarantine time when they're like struggling for content. I think we need an editor to go dig through that fucking footage. And I would love to see even like a pop-up video version of Scary Island or something with like a couple new scenes. I know there's got to be some extra stuff. Like that's all I want. Cause I know there was stuff that we just don't know about yet. And so
they did that with Dinner Party from Hell.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, did they? I got to go find
that. Yeah. They do like a whole like B roll, like what was really happening. Like they go in, it's a whole episode just about
the God.
It's wait, really Scary Island truth or Danny.
I
like it. You're the Alex Jones of Roni.
one quick question before we all like leave. Did Scary Island, so this was my first time watching it, God forgive me, I just showed up to Real Housewives of New York in season 4 is when I started watching them. So this is my, pardon?
Oh no, but you're good. You got the whole gist, even if you...
Yeah, I got the gist. I had like been in and out, but like season 4, I think, was the first time I watched like fully. But watching it back, I don't enjoy Bethany, which I know is blasphemy around a lot of circles, but I don't enjoy her in the present. And it made, like, it reinforced why I didn't enjoy her when I watched Scary Island. But then I found myself, like, more fond of Ramona. And I found myself, like, more fond of Sonia. I was like, oh, this is the Sonia that, you know, was gallivanting around New York and was like so beautiful and like
she was so fun.
And like, so it like reshaped a lot of the way I'm going to be watching this season, for example, going forward. Cause there was like in my head, the Sonia that she's like trying to revisit, I couldn't picture. And even though she's not still in the great place, but in like season 3, I see more of where she could have been and what she might have been trying to hold on to. So, like, has rewatching Scary Island made you reconsider who these women are in the present?
It's funny you mentioned Sonia, because I think she's gotten to the point currently in the season we're watching now where it's like she's vomiting in a car ride home. And, like, her to me, her drunkenness has gotten to be too much. Like, I don't even find it that fun anymore. It's, like, so dark. And there's moments where it's like, haha, she said like a ridiculous line or whatever. But for the most part, I'm like, oh, it feels too dark for me. But you're right. Back then in season 3, she was more put together and she was not, I don't know. She's changed a lot and I don't really love what she's become. And she's almost become a character of herself. I think she knows like what the fans like and they like her kind of like weird quirky.
I would yell pussy because they're going to love this on Twitter, you know.
And I almost think she leans into that too much.
Yeah, I think she's like the Twitter gays. Well, you know, they'll retweet my meme of me, you know what I mean? I think she's definitely like too aware of like her image now. And you're right. I think it's almost kind of tragic because she had this like just elegance in the first season that she was on in season 3. Like in Scary Island, she's so gorgeous and elegant and like effortlessly chic, even though she's like a little messy. Mm-hmm. There's like this, like you get it why she was like this it girl. It's sad to see. And I'm like, I'm in recovery and like, you know, I know I wouldn't want to have had a camera following me when I was like rock bottoming, but it's like hard to watch her now. And it's
you
so
think she's rock bottom right now.
I think she's
throwing the throw up in the van seemed like pretty bottomy.
Okay.
Seemed like at least near the bottom. Yeah, somewhere.
I don't feel like she's at
on
rock
the way.
You know?
I think there are more dangerous places for her to go.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing about addiction is there's always, you think there's a rock bottom and there's a trap door that leads to like I've been, like you think you go and then you go further down. Yeah. So I think you might be right.
I think you're right in the sense that like she doesn't see, I don't think she sees the darkness that she's bringing to the table at all. Like, I think that
she has a drinking problem.
No. She's like, I don't really feel like drinking today. Like, blah, blah, blah. And then cut to like 3 hours later, you're puking in a daytime in a van.
Right. Like, Dorinda at least feels like she's in such denial because, like, a little part of her in the back of her head right here is like, girl, you drink too much. But I don't even think it has occurred to Sonia that she drinks too much.
On the
flip side, though, Ray, you mentioned, like, do you look at these women differently? And I think Ramona, on the flip side, I appreciate her so much because I don't think she's changed much. I think she's always kind of been the same rude monster. And that's what I love. I'm like, I don't think the show affects Ramona much at all. Like, I think she's exactly who she is off camera. Not that that's a good thing, but that's what I like about Ramona. And
no, I truly was like, look at her ordering her friends around like they're the help, even in season 3. She's like, Bethany, next time less salt in the oatmeal. Too much salt in the oatmeal. I'm like, now you're going to tell her to clean up your house. This is great. It was awesome.
And there was like a sweet.
I love you. I love the way you prepared this for me, but next time I would really.
Yeah. I also think.
And when she goes, when she was like, where is the wine? Like to the other girls, when like the ship deckhands like didn't bring her white wine. I was like, someone got a real tongue lashing after that.
Yeah, for sure.
Also just one last thing about Ramona. Like she was so like sweet and giddy about the house. And like, she was like, when they were on the beach, she was like, when she was like, I imagine myself making love with Mario. You know, and it's like, there was something like, it's like, that was like salacious and kind of for her to say. And there was like an innocence to her that I think isn't really there that much anymore because of what, you know, I think.
What happened? I mean, yeah. We're watching her celebrate a marriage that was clearly
not. Yeah, it's tragic. But guys, thank you so much for being on here. This was like delightful.
Yeah, thank you
for having me, you guys. I can't wait for all of us to go to the Buka room.
We'll sit right at this table.
I'm dead serious about that. Do not forget
the name. You're coming,
I wouldn't joke about Buka.
Oh my god, don't get pissed on you.
Ray, where can people follow you on Instagram and Twitter?
Oh, on Instagram, I'm Rawfizzle87. Don't make fun of me. That was a nickname I came up with in high school. And Ray Sani on Twitter.
And you write for the Black Lady Sketch Show on TV.
Yeah.
Which is so funny. It's so funny.
Thank you so much. That means a lot to me. Thank you.
And then Danny, where can people follow you on Instagram and Twitter?
At Danny Pellegrino. And then my podcast is Everything Iconic.
Yes.
Well,
stay tuned for Buka Venture. With the four of us.
Yes. Thank you guys so much.
We're gonna He's going to come with us too. So.
Mm-hmm. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
And then there were two. God, they were amazing.
Two at Buka once again.
Two in Capri once again. Well, I'm glad we talked a little about... But you know, it all kind of wrapped up at the end, which was great.
It all comes back to a place of scariness, honestly.
All right, is there one question we should answer? We'll do one question.
Let's do. I love there was a question from Olivia who just wrote, yes. Not a question, Olivia. Did you watch the VPR Secrets Revealed? Not yet, because we're doing this, but I'm going to watch it right after this.
Oh, here's a good one. Laura and Carrie, if you had to pick one husband from the RH franchise, who would it be? You can't pick Ken.
Mauricio?
Yeah,
I was
a little turned off by him in that episode when he was like partying at their house. There was something.
It seems like he's now like kind of getting loose and going off the rails. He's always had a little bit of like cheater energy.
Yeah. I mean, he's still obviously
like now. Yeah, like now more than ever, it's probably going to happen a little bit.
I mean, if we're turking, fucking, definitely Mauricio. I don't know if I'm married to him. I don't know
honestly,
if I'm married
to Tom. To get married to Tom?
Which Tom?
Erica's Tom. He'll just...
Oh, yeah.
Then I could do my podcast and like do what I want. You don't have to worry about much. And then he really only comes out of his little turtle shell from, you know, like he's in bed by like 6 p.m. Sundown. You throw him back to the help. So
I'm going to say I agree with that. And I'm going to do another wild card.
What?
Bobby Zarin, RIP.
He was a supportive husband. And I do like that he told Jill when she's talking to Luann, she's like, Bobby told me I made him a huge mistake in the way I cut Bethany out. And it's like, you really need someone that's going to keep it fucking real with you.
He was a really good person. And he was very doting and devoted to Jill and Allie. And he did want to see, I think he really wanted to see Jill and Bethany make amends. Because I think Bethany was like their family.
Yeah.
That was really sad because Bobby was like best friends with her too.
Can you refresh my memory as to what went down between Jill and Bethany? Like why they had a falling out?
I forget the exact reason, but I think the underlying reason was Jill liked Bethany when she was the underdog and she was like this scrappy chef. Trying to make it in New York, and Jill was sort of like took her under her wing like an older sister. And then when Bethany started getting kind of too big for her britches in Jill's eyes, Jill kind of started turning on her and they had like a true falling out. And they like, I think there were like, I forget the exact reasons. I'm being bad right now, but I think it was just
Jill is Payman.
Jill is Payman. But so, I think it's just Jill being jealous of Skinny Girl, and then Jason, and then like Bethany had her own show, and I think Bethany was like starting to become like more famous than any of them and richer. And I think Jill just couldn't handle it, and they had a falling out. But then they came together at Bobby's funeral, which was really sad, but like beautiful to watch.
Yeah, that, I mean, as long as they get brought together again.
Well, Jill is going to be on this season, I think, at some point.
Good, let's get her back. I'm ready to like...
Let's get her back.
Let's get her back.
Let's get her back, I'd say.
I have to be quite honest with you. I'd love her back.
I have to be quite honest with you. I'd like to see Jill and Bethany back together.
I miss Danielle. Honestly, I like think of her all the time.
Oh yeah, wait. Also, we didn't talk about Jill on ice skates in this episode.
When she gets screamed at by the French ice skate instructor, and she's like, "No, he has a point. Could have said it nicer. Could have said it nicer."
Classic Jill Zarin. Could have said it nicer, but yeah, he's right. He's right. We'll go. I'm not wanted here.
She knew.
Danielle.
She did.
I know. I miss her too.
She knew what she did. Mary Fett killed Danielle Carlton Kelly. Kill Carlton. Truly up to no good. Mary Danielle.
Mary Danielle. Like,
I'd love to make a wife of her. And I guess I would fuck Kelly because maybe she... I mean, she's so crazy. She either brings it in bed or not. But even if you approached her and was like, I want to fuck you, she doesn't have one night stand, so then you wouldn't have to fuck her. So it's cheap.
Mary Danielle.
I don't have one night stands from the Midwest.
Yeah. She called Bethany a hoe bag. She also said a chef. What did she say? A chef does not a chef make? A cook? You're a cook.
You're a cook. You're not an executive chef at a restaurant. And I don't know if you cook.
I don't know. None of my friends use you.
There was one moment where it cuts to Kelly, and it was like the night before the like freak out, or where they're still on the yacht and she's sitting there looking at Bethany the night she calls her a hoe bag, and she's like, like, that was truly the energy I was bringing to this day earlier, prior to getting on this live feed. I took Tony for a walk and I was really pure, just like, energy.
Kelly also goes at one point when she's talking about asking them to, she wants to take their photo, she goes, Bethany, I don't know what your story is, but you're more than welcome to come. I was like,
literally, when you die and you're sent to hell, you'll know you're in hell because you're on a beach and Kelly Killer and Ben Simone is bullying you into doing a photo shoot with her.
Yeah. Sonia looked great.
Sonia looked incredible. And I love when her and Ramona are taking like thoughty pictures.
I know. They're on their black shirt.
That's really best friend energy with like a Sony digital camera.
Yeah.
And Ramona's like, oh, it's out of batteries. Oh. And then they're like trying to get it.
And Kelly with her. She has kind of big hands and her little BlackBerry.
Huge hands and her massive glasses, like as though she's like channeling her artist side, but she put her glasses on so you'd know she's serious.
Yeah, that Terry Richardson cosplay, I was like, get out of here. Well,
guys, here we are again. Guys.
Thank you so much for tuning in, everyone. Thank you all so much. Funny. What a history.
What a history. What a beautiful, beautiful live stream. We'll be doing some more. And
you can follow Lara at Lars Marie on Twitter and Instagram.
You can follow Carrie at Ikerio, aka Icaro.
And
Icaro, buonanotte, Icaro.
Buonanotte, ciao. Ciao, Lenu. Ciao, Lenu. Bye, guys.
Love you all.
Love y'all.
Cause I know I know.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life.
every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.